We're talking about herpes. So herpes is actually a huge family of viruses.
Well, I know that like your regular cold sore is just herpes.
Exactly. But for example, like in you, if you get herpes, Jeff, you might just get a few cold sores either
if
on your either around your genitals or in your mouth. But let's say that you had that exact same type of herpes, so the exact same type of virus, and we know what viruses it is. We've numbered them. You get that exact same virus, but you happen to have HIV. So you're immunocompromised. Your immune system sucks. And your immune system can't fight it like a normal person would. So instead of
can we do the Jack Bauer?
Don't fight it.
So instead of your body just containing it around either your genitals or your mouth, you get it everywhere, and it is causing kind of a systemic problem. And people with HIV actually get a type of cancer called a Kaposi sarcoma, which is very deadly, and it's related to herpes, and it's just because your body is not containing the herpes. So herpes can really wreak havoc.
That the exact same thing that happens with like chicken pox and being old?
Exactly. So you're talking about shingles.
Can I ask you a question? Why do
talking about shingles. Shut your mouth.
Why do these diseases cause cancer? Is that because they like the trauma of the development of the sore can lead to that? Because any trauma can lead to cancer, right?
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. So any irritation of any kind anywhere on your body can lead to cancer.
Can and usually does, right?
All 100%.
Can and usually does if it's systemic and if you happen to have a predilection towards that. So there's a genetic component. Yeah.
But doesn't it also, I mean, like often, like there are lots of cancerous cells that are killed all the time.
Exactly. Right? Your body attacks cancer cells and kills them just as it would infected cells that are from bacteria or viruses.
So you're saying your body is trying to kill itself just as often as it is trying to not kill itself.
Exactly.
But Jesus created my body. It's a wonderland.
It's a temple. Correction, baby Jesus. Mm. Baby Jesus made your body.
Mm. Gotcha.
And it's a temple to Madonna.
Or Beyonce.
It's a temple to my priest.
The second coming of Madonna.
My priest told me my body should be appreciated by someone. And he told me not to tell anyone.
Well, Jeff, you're here to tell everybody, aren't you?
I am here to tell everybody.
Jamie, Dr. Sarcoma.
Sarcoma.
What is sarcoma? What does that mean? That sounds really... I remember this is bringing back like freshman biology
It's... I hate all those terms. I think it means like skin cancer, but I could be like, completely wrong.
Oma, does that not, or no, like, what does that mean, like cancer or something?
Oma is odd. Oma can mean, as a suffix, it can mean benign mass. Uh-huh. Like an adenoma can be a benign mass, but a sarcoma is usually a malignant mass because a sarcoma, usually skin cancers that invade the basement membrane. In other words, they start as skin cancers and then they kind of go through like the lowest layer of skin. They get into your blood. Those are really, really bad. Those are usually malignant and they're usually called sarcomas.
Can I ask you a question?
It's like melanoma, right? People usually hear that one. That one's
melanoma
like
is really
skin
bad.
Cancer.
What about Dr. Guy Fieri's Slamajama?
Slamajama?
What about Dr. Dre? Whatever happened to him?
He bakes beats. He makes beats by Dre.
He bakes beats.
Basement.
He makes bajillions of dollars on crappy headphones.
Wasn't there an Eminem song that alleged that Dr. Dre was locked in his basement?
Yes.
Well, I think it's Whatever Happened to Dre. I was actually just listening to that the other day.
Don't say that.
It was.
Nope.
No, Griffin listens to shitty white man rap music. Like Riff Raff.
That is a totally different genre.
Well, the only commonality is that it's like white trash rap music.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, Riff Raff is very aware of his own garbage.
Vanilla Ice had a carpentry show. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. He was a contractor, yeah.
Yeah.
Vanilla Ice got like really angry on an episode of some kind of MTV program and destroyed the set with a bat. I don't remember why.
Vanilla Ice came to Des Moines to play at the State Fair on the free stage a couple years ago.
Did he do the ninja rap?
You know, I didn't go. But isn't there a new ninja rap?
Maybe.
I thought I heard it the other day.
Turtles out of their shells?
Yeah. Oh my god, did you guys see the new commercial, the new trailer for the Michael Bay Turtles movie?
It looks no, fucking what? Terrible.
I've never been more angry about anything.
What aggravates you so much? Is it the turtle gate, like that they're aliens, or is it the CG garbage? I haven't seen it. Can you describe it, Jamie?
I don't think they're actually aliens, but Megan Fox is in it as fucking April O'Neil.
Hmm.
I wouldn't.
Good.
Megan Fox being in it, I wouldn't. That alone wouldn't push me over the edge. Them being aliens, whatever. TCRI is involved, so I doubt they're aliens. They're probably turtles.
Yeah, I saw ooze in there.
Yeah, there's ooze. But the thing is, they look so bad.
Yeah, they really do.
And the movie itself looks so bad. It's just, it completely loses the spirit of the first and second movies.
Of the brilliance of the foam rubber hot trash that was the Turtles of the 90s.
What are you talking about? Those were great movies. Say anything like that because the first two movies are amazing.
How many do backflips now?
Oh, my God.
Jamie, can we exit this podcast as a show of anger?
Yes.
He is going to drop the mics in upsetment.
Hashtag cancel Boss Bowel Radio.
Boss Bowel Radio.
Boss Bowel Radio.
In the sewers really with the bowels.
What do you,
and
Jamie,
the turtles.
What do you think the odds are that they include the military in this Turtles movie?
1,000%. I'm pretty sure that the trailer has... one of them doing a backflip into a Humvee and exploding it.
So you're telling me this has become Saints Row the Turtles game.
I guess.
At least they remember to include backflips.
It was like such a Michael Bay backflip, though.
Yeah.
I guess it's more surprising to me that Turtles is still like a viable thing in the marketplace. Like I know there's still kids that are into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and it's kind of become a different thing, but like I didn't know that it had that much awareness that they would be able to pull that off.
Have you ever watched the Turtles movies? Those are pretty squarely aimed at children.
Not the first one.
Well, not the first one, but the second one, certainly.
Okay, but in the current day reality with kids, you know, taking pictures of Snapchatting pictures of their balls to each other and their, you know, eighth grade locker rooms or whatever.
The
like,
turtles are timeless.
They don't care about the turtles anymore. I'm sorry, Jeff.
Okay.
Nobody
Can
cares about the
something?
Turtles. They only care about
in my,
the
in
Fast
my...
and the Furious horror
no,
films.
You listen. In my job, I've met two families
mm-hmm.
whose children have turtles backpacks and like friggin' stuffed turtles. So you're wrong.
Okay.
They will never die.
Fair enough. I've seen that's yes, turtles. I've seen some kids with turtle backpacks. Yep.
Yeah.
I've also seen kids with General Grievous face tattoos.
Yeah.
And and Jango Fett baseball jerseys.
What of it?
I'm just saying, like, kids' tastes are in question. And
kids
I didn't
love Star Wars. No, kids love Star Wars. They love turtles. I'm
right.
telling you.
Well, yeah. But they love a different turtles, is what I'm saying. Like, they don't love the turtles that you guys like from, you know, like oozy drippy pizzas with that guy from Lost playing Shredder. It's.
That sounds so good. Oh, what you just said sounds so good. Oozy drippy pizzas.
That's my new website. It's oozydrippypizzas.com.
Can't they? Okay, can they at least do a Domino's pizza placement in the movie?
Yeah.
Domino's doesn't even want to have anything to do with that. They're like, we got Hatsune Miku. We don't need those turds.
It's the Vocaloid lady in Japan who has blue hair.
Yeah, exactly. You're out of touch, man. All the kids know who Hatsune Miku is.
But Domino's kind of lost out because when they were in the movies in the 90s, they were always the delivery guy was always late. So it's like an anti-advertisement for Domino's.
Well, he was like 1 second late, and then they would reach out of the sewer and grab the pizza and be like, "What? You're late?" Yeah, they hassled him.
Yeah.
He was really stoic.
That guy killed himself later that day.
I think he was actually killed by the mafia, the pizza mafia.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He joined the Foot Clan. That's how the Foot Clan was revived.
The Zaibatsus swept in and murdered him.
In the first movie, they were like the Foot Clan for like a hot minute in the beginning of the film wasn't some like just completely evil, weird abstraction of a thing. It was like this like underbelly of New York City that the disaffected youth would go to because there were no opportunities for them.
It was still
the Turtles I want.
No,
it was still a kids movie though.
The Foot Clan was a latchkey program. Like it was like there's like half pipes and arcades and kids playing foosball and there's just no parents around and they're like, oh well, you gotta be out of here by 8:30. But you know, if your parents aren't here, I guess you can go somewhere. There's 7-Eleven still open.
They did have like youth outreach. In the first one though, don't they have like a bunch of youth outreach and then they also go and commit crimes, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. No, that was a great movie. It was like a family movie though. Like kids could enjoy that movie.
It was a family movie in the same way that like Gremlins and the Goonies was a family movie where you're like, huh, yeah. Or E.T.
Those are the best.
Like just some of the weirder 80s.
Yeah.
Like kind of.
Can't they just keep doing that?
Right. Yeah, that's what I want. That movie was so unapologetic about how shitty the city was at that time.
You want the third Turtles movie that is unapologetically Turtles?
You mean they go back in time?
Yeah, exactly.
First of all,
no,
I still love that movie. We talk about that.
No, we don't talk about that movie. I haven't seen it in forever, so I don't remember how bad it is or isn't.
The first movie, April O'Neil lives in a shitty apartment above a pawn shop, and she can't go home at night because she's worried about getting robbed. And that's awesome. And then the second one, they totally fucked it up, and she's living in some, like, 90s neon palace in the sky.
Master Shredder live on the roof, too?
Yeah.
In that one?
Yes.
He collected pigeons, and she had a spiral staircase.
Yes, exactly. I remember the spiral staircase.
Yeah. Second movie was pretty... It was, like, objectively terrible, but I can't hate it because as a kid, I thought it was the coolest thing in the world.
The opening sequence is incredible.
Did you know that the dude who played Shredder went on to play the Dr. Chang in Lost?
What?
And I had this conversation.
He was also
today.
An American Ninja. Or excuse me, Beverly Hills Ninja.
I literally had this conversation today with someone else.
Are you sure time traveling?
That's
really weird.
So video games?
That's like the... No, we have to figure out what happened with you in your life.
Jeff, did your mind detach from your body and you traveled through space? And
yeah, no, I'm not talking about your real life, Jeff. I'm talking about... Like...
I was going to say, real life might be a little too heavy for this podcast. So what happened to me?
It's totally normal that your balls hang at the same level.
I think I'm probably a brain in a vat, and this all isn't really happening, is my suspicion.
Wow, I'm still blown away by the fact that Dr. Chang is Shredder. Wow.
I'm still blown away by the fact that there are people that exist out there that have level balls, like perfectly no variance, and they're like, this is the norm, check it.
You should pose a question to the fans. You should put a poll. You attach a poll to this podcast.
I'm attaching the poll right now. Here we go. Vote for... the weight per nut.
What are the chances that there is some plastic surgeon in California who will even out your ball height for
you? Nut balancing?
1,000,000%.
I think it's 100%. You're right, Jeff.
Shave a little off the left one.
Also, in Turtles, hold on a second. And this, I thought this was the case. Did you know this? In the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon, the voice of Shredder was provided by Will Smith's uncle in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Really?
That's so bizarre.
Carlton? Oh no, God. Not Carlton.
Banks. The judge,
what's his name?
Mr. Banks?
Yeah, Mr. Banks, but what's his name? His first name. I don't know. Judge Banks.
Philip Banks. Yes. I'm looking at it right now.
There's never been a better sitcom. I've been watching I Love Lucy episodes because it's for free on Amazon Prime. And And it's really weird to watch an I Love Lucy episode and then be like, I remember that happening in French Prince of Bel-Air, Will and Grace, How I Met Your Mother. Like, it's just the same shit over and over and over again.
Oh, yeah. Yep, that's for sure.
Since the 50s.
Yep. It's been done. Simpsons did it.
Yeah. Remember that episode of Sex and the City when Carrie and the other ones were at the chocolate factory and they couldn't stop the conveyor belt and they had to eat all the chocolate, except it was dicks.
I mean, you were going to say that. I was ready for it.
So I'm a Samantha, for sure.
You're a Samantha?
Yeah, I'm a Samantha.
Yeah.
I don't even remember the other's names. Miranda?
According to my online profile, I'm a Charlotte, yeah.
And who are the others?
Carrie.
Carrie, that's right.
Yeah, she's the number one.
I'm going to say
the Leonardo of the pack.
Yeah.
I started writing a diary at night about my sexploits, and I read it out loud as I speak it, but it's not as cool as it is in the show.
Tonight I didn't have sex.
Wait, do you...
But I also sing the song while I'm talking, so it's hard, you know, because tonight I had They should have a spin-off of that show called Affluenza.
They really are a bunch of rich people.
Yep.
Hey, that's what they like on the televisions.
Yeah.
The rich peoples.
Yeah. Kardashians. Doing well.
Oh, God. Why? She's like married to a really rich guy, right? So why is she on that show anymore?
Who?
Or is she not?
That was kind of the whole point.
She's kind of not.
She was from a rich family, and then she got married to a rich guy.
Uh-huh.
So...
But that's kind of the crazy thing, because like it's kind of like the Prince and the Pauper, or not Prince and the Pauper, but like
the Prince and the Porn Star.
Yeah, exactly. Where you have, well, you have her coming from a family where it is they have one person who has done well, then they make a bunch, and then you have like self-made man who is bringing himself up. So like the money is centralized versus the money is, you know, spread amongst many.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, I zoned out and then I came back ready.
Basically,
to the end.
I heard that the money is centralized or spread amongst many. And
yeah. Are we talking about capitalism now?
Yeah, totally. Yep. The, okay. It's, so it's
keeping
the Kardashians,
the Kardashians
are
is
the
a
manifest
metaphor
destiny.
Oh my God.
It's a metaphor for modern capitalist
the
society.
The Dutch East India Trade Company started the booty.
Started the Kardashian booty?
Yes.
I see.
It wasn't Jenner.
They've been collecting booty ever since.
Mm-hmm. Harvesting it. Just like sugarcane.
Subsidized booty.
You guys, I ate a smash burger earlier and I am just making the worst farts.
Do they smell bad yet, Jamie?
They really do smell. They started smelling really bad.
Sometimes they start, they don't have an aroma, and then over time it accumulates.
is there a smash burger on the East Coast? That's a thing?
Oh, they're all over now.
Is it not hated or derided or anything?
No.
Huh.
It's kind of new here. Are they hated and derided where you are?
Only in that they are ridiculed for not being Five Guys or In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah. I mean, Five Guys is clearly better.
Yeah,
and
that's why
I'm
so surprised, because like Smashburger has been here for years and years and years, and it's always been compared to those two things, saying like it's not as good. So that's crazy that it's like the Aeropostale of
burger chains. Doesn't Smashburger position itself as like a slightly more like upscale burger? Like, oh, this one won't be as obviously like soaked in grease before
when
it was
you have
to you.
Guacamole.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why didn't you have some apples on your burger?
Oh, yes. Applewood bacon burger bacon apple?
Would you like your burger with an acai berry crust?
Do you guys have Zinburger?
No.
No.
I live in Maine.
Okay. Zinburger is the worst.
Do you have Zin lobster?
Is that real?
We have actual lobsters that are on the coast of Maine that we catch and eat.
Gross.
Doubtful.
Do you like lobster?
I don't, actually.
Oh, God, it's disgusting.
It's a huge fucking bug.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's how I feel. This is weird. I'm surprised that all three of us don't like lobster.
It's for us. And I'll eat crab, though. Crab tastes good.
Crab people.
Yeah. I'm fine with crab. Yeah. As long as they're served with people, too.
Because crabs are hilarious bugs. But a lobster's not hilarious. A lobster's gross.
But
a lobster
like
has a
them.
Tail. It's like everything that's the worst.
And learn how they move.
Have you ever seen a crab walk? It's hilarious.
They go sideways.
They go sideways. They have the little grabbers in the air.
Yeah, but sometimes they're gross. They look all spindly and stuff.
Yeah, they're like water spiders.
Yeah.
But those are the tiny ones. I don't eat the tiny ones. I eat the big adorable
ones. Yeah, the big ones are hilarious.
I'll eat bugs if they're hilarious. Yeah. Well,
someone said that humans eat on average 100 spiders per year. I don't know.
That's a myth.
That sounds like an internet fact.
It actually is an internet fact that was explicitly started in like the mid-90s by someone to demonstrate how easy it was to spread false information on the internet.
Nice.
One of the first like widespread internet hoaxes that made its way into a Snapple fact.
And that that slowly evolved and became BuzzFeed.
Yes. I believe that is the exact progression.
Mm-hmm.
Half of what I do on Facebook is I see someone post something and then I Snopes it and then I post them the Snopes link. And
I'm glad that you do that because I am also leading a crusade against false information on Facebook. I hate it.
Hmm. Yeah, it's annoying as hell.
I just block them.
Well, it's people who otherwise are fine, and they come across something like I know this guy who's all right, and he posted something about about Starbucks not like hating the Marines or something, and I was like, that sounds extremely doubtful to me.
Yeah.
So I Snopes'd it, and this is like a 12-year-old internet rumor started for no reason.
I find it so infuriating that people just can't take the time to do the research. If you have one source giving you your information and nowhere else could like double confirms it, then you need to do your homework.
Exactly. Snopes is so easy.
Yep.
Like, just go to Snopes and type in your thing, and it'll just tell you right up front, like, this is bullshit.
It's so lazy.
Wait, does Snopes ever say anything about it being accurate?
Yeah, Snopes will tell you if it's real.
I only hear Snopes in the context of like refuting arguments.
Oh no, they assess popular like internet things that spread around that have doubtful veracity. Sometimes they'll research it and they'll discover that it's true. Like they'll actually do the homework to discover that it's true.
Mm-hmm. Like how I'm actually 3/4 woman.
Yes. That is well that's partially true.
That's because you have even balls.
Oh man!
We call you a flat liar, flat hanger.
In earlier centuries, I would have been an outcast
or reviewed for your combat prowess.
Speaking of combat,
what?
I've been playing some games that involve combat. In fact, I've been playing two that do and one that doesn't. Which one should I talk about first? The one that doesn't or the two that do?
Titanfall.
Titan balls.
Did I talk about Titanfall on this podcast already or no?
Talk about it again. Hit us with it. Tell me your updated impressions.
You never talked about Titanfall. What is it?
Titanfall is a 2D indie game.
Okay.
Where you are a goat. And
another puzzle platformer with an art style. Jesus Christ.
No, I'll talk about Titanfall for a second. I'll talk about that. So my updated impressions are that it's still awesome, and I like it even more than I did initially, and I really think that both of you guys should give it a try. And now I think that the try is like 3 hours. So you got to give it like 3 hours, and you got to – because at first –
What was the try before? What was your try length before you're like, you guys may not like it, you may like it, you got to spend this much time?
So if you're like me and you like kind of floaty shooters, like if you ever enjoyed Halo or if you ever enjoyed Unreal Tournament, then you might enjoy this right off the bat as I did. Mm. If you don't enjoy those games, you still might like this game a lot.
Okay.
But you have to give it time because it's going to take you a while to understand why. And the reason why is because it's the first shooter that I've ever played It's the only shooter I've ever played.
You need to understand this about this game. It's the first shooter I've ever played.
And it's great.
Video game
there's guns
I've
in
ever...
it. You can shoot people.
So here's the thing. Every gun in that game, and it's true. I heard this in reviews and I was like, whatever. But it's true. Every gun in that game is just as good as all the other guns. There's no better gun, which is awesome. So you figure out the way that you like to play best. And it's such like a intuitive and fluid game that you probably won't focus in on one gun. Like I have like two or three that I like, and it's really like it's so evenly balanced that it's amazing. And that makes it so much fun because it's not like someone can get the sniper and then get up top somewhere and just kill everyone. That people do snipe in this game, but it's. That doesn't happen as often. The shittiest little smart pistol that everyone can use and doesn't require you to aim at all is just as good a weapon as like the best modded like automatic shotgun thing.
I'd like to know more about this. I hear this pistol being brought up quite a bit, and it's like a lock on. Swipe across the screen, lock, and then fire type of a weapon. But it doesn't
like
immediately... Yeah. What is that called?
I don't know.
Like a Child of Eden predecessor. What is that thing called?
Exactly. Exactly like that. You basically...
Panzer Dragoon.
Okay.
It's like that, but does it not kill people? How is that not balanced if it just you lock and shoot and kill people immediately?
Because what the game becomes when you use that gun is it actually becomes like it actually feels like Rez, because what you have to do is it takes some time, right? Uh-huh. So you have to do two things. You have to try to come up behind people, and then when they realize that you're coming after them, you have to keep them on your screen. You don't have to aim at them, but you have to keep them on your screen for a period of time so that it locks. And that's what this game is so good at. Depending on the way you want to play and depending on what gun you use, it becomes other games. It like it goes from being like a legitimate platformer to being a shooter to being like to being a
Jeff.
Crazy ass like Team Fortress 2 thing, all sorts of craziness.
Yes, Griffin?
Are you going to ask your question?
What question?
When does it become a JRPG?
Oh yeah. I was going to ask, what about in a month when the weapons aren't balanced? Just to be.
What do you mean?
When there's a ladder and when there's a tier list and then there's a top tier weapon.
There's a top tier weapon?
Well, I mean, Jamie, even in like previous Call of Duty games, there's never been a top tier weapon. Like, there's never been a thing that is the dominant weapon. Like, there are things that are preferred if you like to do X, Y, or Z. And like loadouts that are successful at doing this, but like there's never the end all be all. This is the ultimate kill gun that everybody uses. Nobody that hasn't existed since like the rocket launcher in Unreal Tournament or something.
Mm.
Well, that's probably why I feel that way.
Shooter
I played.
I heard Jamie. I heard other people comparing this to Unreal Tournament 2004. So you're not the only one who got that vibe.
Oh yeah, it's definitely it's right up there. Yeah. I'm actually tempted to go on Good Old Games and buy Unreal Tournament because I'm just having all these memories of Unreal Tournament. But even my our friend Axel plays Call of Duty, and whenever I would watch him play Call of Duty, he's like he's got his like one thing, like it would be like the sniper rifle or whatever, and he's like this is his sniper rifle that he grinded, like he grinded the additions to his sniper rifle.
It doesn't take that much though to do that. Like it's you play a couple matches and then they're ready to go.
Oh really? Yeah. Okay.
See what it well, I guess like I'm unfairly like, yeah.
Guess I'm unfairly criticizing those games. But then again, even beyond the guns and beyond that stuff, there's just something about it that for some reason feels more accessible and more fun to me than other shooters have. And like I said, you don't walk out and die immediately. It doesn't do that.
It does look really fun to me. I find what I've seen of it alluring. It looks kinetic in a way that other shooters maybe aren't. It looks looks fun to be in that world and move around in it and shoot. I'm looking forward to trying it at PAX, even if I don't know if I'll buy it.
But there's lots of things. There's lots of things to do. Like, you'll be running around a map and you'll hack some enemy robots and then they're fighting for you. And then you'll sneak up behind someone with your smart pistol and kill them. And then you'll see someone's Titan coming down the street and you'll run at it because you're a crazy bastard. And then you'll jump on top of it and you'll shoot it and then it'll explode and then you fly into the air. And then you come back down and you kick someone to death. It's like a lot of things going on that keep it from feeling monotonous. Oh man, I just made a terrible fart.
As somebody who's never played this game before, but has an opinion on it, what it keeps coming back to me is the really alluring thing about this game that it diverts enough players into doing different things in this kind of setting with this tool set that it is fun for more people than a typical first-person shooter would be. For example, you still have sniping, you have giant robots, you have your like jumping, kicking, wall climbing craziness action, and then you also have just like killing AI enemies while you're still dealing with real people. Like, it seems like there's so many factors in play there. It's almost like a sensory overload that it becomes really exciting for people who typically don't play those games and also play those games alike.
I think you're right. I think what it really comes down to is probably something that's not as like sexy to talk about, but it's also hard to talk about, which is just that, like, I feel like it's just a really well-made game.
Oh, okay.
You know how it's like, I don't like fighting games, but if you put a really good fighting game in front of me, I'll probably get some use out of it, you know?
Yeah.
This just feels like a really solidly built game, and it feels like they've tried to bring in a more casual audience. There's more to do. If you suck, you can mow down AI characters. Like,
yeah.
There's things like that going on, but at the end of the day, like I was explaining the first time, it just feels like they thought about all the scenarios, they made the maps really well, they thought about when people would be doing what, and they gave people a limited set of fun tools that seem pretty balanced. And even with, I was playing with people before they siphoned all the cheaters off into their own servers, which thank God. I was playing with plenty of people who were using aimbots, which you can tell easily because on the instant replays, it's just like, oh my God, aimbot right there. Mm-hmm. Like it went straight to my head from a million yards away and he was looking in the other direction. But the thing is, even in those matches where I would play maybe against 1, 2, 3 people with aimbots and I'm not good at shooters, I would not come in last. Sometimes those people come in last.
Really?
And the reason why that is because it's almost like you can get around that. Like, you can sneak up behind people and kill them just as easily. Like, and you know, no aimbot is going to prevent you from dying in that situation.
Yeah.
You get your Titan, and then your Titan can do crazy things that an aimbot's not going to help you do.
But you can also go have fun and like destroy Titans too, and do that. Like, bit of a, I guess, I've also heard it compared a little bit to like Assassin's Creed games multiplayer, where you notice the real player acting differently from the AI, and then you go after that person secretly.
Oh yeah, because you'll see, like, some of the maps are gigantic, so you'll see way across the map a horde of enemies, and probably 6 or 7 of them are AI and one is a real person. And that's actually what I do too, because your AI helpers come in waves. So when a wave comes, you kind of run with them.
Oh my God. So it's like Dota as well. Jesus.
It's really weird.
It's all the games.
Oh God.
It's all the games combined. So yeah. So you'll kind of get into a scuffle, and it's not that you can't tell them apart, but it's just that it's so hectic. You're like, where's the real guy? Where's the real guy? Oh, there he is. Ah, it's craziness.
Awesome.
It sounds, Jamie, it sounds to me, or my impression of it so far, just from kind of looking at it, is basically like what you said. Like, I don't really like shooters, but I probably would have a good time with this game. But my question is just whether or not I would play it enough. Like, I'd probably have fun with the time I spent with it, but it'd be like, you know, 3 hours.
I don't know. I honestly like watch what's that guy's name? I watch Adam Sessler's
PewDiePie.
Review. Watch Adam Sessler's review because he says it better than I say it. Like, you might be surprised. Mm. It's like a really, it's such a well-made game that you might be surprised. I my expectations weren't that high. I bought this game because I was bored and I was like, whatever, this is a new game. Mm. I'll try it out.
I think
I
was
just, yeah, awesome.
I think I'm occupied enough with what I have that I just like another like put taking the time that I might need to invest in it is like no wait. But I'm excited to play it at PAX and get my teeth into it a little bit. I wish I could demo it anywhere.
I think the most exciting thing, I think we've talked about this too, is what this holds for the future of Titanfall. So like people like Jeff or me who don't immediately get hooked by this through whatever means now are salivating to go play the next iteration that have the bugs kinked out of it. One of the, or the kinks knocked out of it. The, one of the best comparisons I've heard, Jamie, of this game is saying that it is like Assassin's Creed 1 in the Assassin's Creed franchise, where you're like, no, like, we can see the potential. It does a lot of cool things. It has a really cool story, or I guess it has the possibility of having a really cool story, but there are so many, like, just little hiccups that need to be ironed out, and Assassin's Creed 2 was amazing compared to 1. So, like, we have this, like, this is what this could be. Like, we're seeing the potential for this.
Gotcha.
Do you feel similar? Did you play Assassin's Creed 1?
I did play Assassin's Creed 1. I actually played it on the Xbox right when it came out, and I remember feeling that way, which is funny. I remember feeling that way about Assassin's Creed because I wasn't too happy with Assassin's Creed 1. After a couple hours, I got bored. Mm-hmm. And I do think that, yes, this game is a like a meteoric start for this franchise, mm-hmm. and I'm sure that even better things are coming, but I really don't think that because I honestly think that this is a great game, mm-hmm. and I think that there's a lot there, and that I'm just starting to understand. Like I've played for maybe 8 hours, 9 hours, and I'm really just starting. You can be proficient. And,
okay, how about
fun.
Assassin's Creed 2 to Assassin's Creed 2 Brotherhood? Is that a better comparison?
I didn't actually play 2. I only played Brotherhood. Okay. But But no, I think I don't think that what you were saying earlier is wrong at all. I'm just saying that I think to say that is to maybe undermine what we have, and mm. I think sure. the game they sure. made is pretty great.
Yeah, that's why I think it sounds more like a Assassin's Creed 2 situation where it's like it's actually a really awesome game, does a lot of cool stuff, and then Brotherhood comes out eventually, refines it all, makes it way better and more interesting.
Yeah, sure. Definitely.
I have not played any Assassin's Creed games except for like 10 minutes of 4. So, hooray. But I remember that song, yeah, from multiplayer Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
So, yeah, I think you guys should try it out. I mean, definitely every. I feel like it's. So when it's $20, $30, $40, just grab it.
Well,
I feel like
let
it's
me tell
worth
you.
That.
I will be checking out the PlayStation or the Xbox 360 version when it comes out later this week.
Yay! But how will it survive without the power of the cloud?
We shall see.
I'm actually a little bit worried for two reasons. One, the PC constant internet business has been flawless. And if that weren't the case, that would be a huge hassle. Huge. I could really see it hampering your enjoyment of the game, but then again, Xbox Live servers are supposed to be good. The other thing is that there are points. It's a poorly optimized game, right? It's a beautiful game, but some of the maps are just gargantuan, so big, and when stuff really starts going down, I was describing how hectic the game is. When stuff really starts going down, I'm worried that it's gonna chug on 360 like really badly.
Yeah, probably.
I hope that they fix that somehow, maybe with draw distance or something. But because it's the type of game where when things start chugging, you start missing things because mm-hmm. there's so much going on. So I'm pretty worried about that.
Yeah, yeah, and I also heard that they can't hit 60 on Xbox One. They're not. Wow. It's running at 60 most of the time, but it definitely drops down to like the 40s in really intense scenes.
I think certain levels also have that issues too.
I think they're shooting for 30 FPS on the Xbox 360 version.
That's fine. That's usually what most Call of Duties are at.
No, all Call of Duties are at 60.
No, Rock really? Solid,
yes, that's yeah. why it's been such a huge franchise. Huh. Rock solid 60 FPS.
I think at 30 you're going to be missing because you don't really understand how crazy it gets. Like you're just imagine three or four people like wall running into a massive group of three Titans plus 10 AI guys. Like mm-hmm. It gets insane.
I'm convinced that 60 FPS is like the greatest thing ever.
Go ahead.
I was going to say I was playing today. I just happened to go to GameStop and I was playing the new Yoshi's Island demo, and like by all descriptions that game is supposed to be pretty shitty, but just moving around in that world at 60 frames per second was just amazing. I love that fluidity compared to 30, but anyway,
it's fun.
Yeah, it's great.
So yeah, that's Titanfall. You guys should try it. And the different modes are great. They have something called burn cards, which is fun. If you get killed, you accrue these burn cards. They're essentially like power-ups, mm-hmm. even though the Titan is already kind of a power-up. And you get to use a burn card after you die. And it's like kind of like a blue shell almost. Like you'll get a really powerful gun for one life.
Gotcha.
Which is nice. So, yeah.
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 Well,
yeah.
What other non-Titanfall games have you been up to?
I beat Escape Goat 2.
Oh, wow.
I beat the core of it, but I was informed when after the credits scrolled that I'd only gotten through like 45% of the puzzles. So I'm going back and I'm playing the rest of them. Game is awesome. You guys should get it. It's really, really good. It's so much fun. Not only that, it's fun to watch. Sometimes Shannon just watches me play it, or I'll just watch Shannon play it. It's like it's really cool. It's at first I was like, this is Braid but worse. But the levels at the end are really smartly made. And some of the puzzles are now I routinely walk into a screen and I'm like, this is utterly impossible. There's no way that I know what my character can do. Like there's no way that I can get across this board.
Press A and, to goat.
Yes, exactly. And the music's great, and it's really pretty, and I can't recommend it enough. I can't really describe the puzzles well. It's kind of like
sliding walls, right?
Yeah, it's like Catherine, but not shitty. And it's
I thought it was because Catherine is block pushing. Isn't this more you hit switches and walls rearrange themselves, and you have to.
That happens in some rooms, but the hardest puzzles are ones where you are like pushing things around.
Okay.
And you're using – you have a mouse friend.
Yes.
The mouse friend can go places you can't go, and in certain situations you can switch places with the mouse friend.
Mm.
And so it's more –
Does the mouse friend send you dirty pictures on your cell phone like Catherine?
like Anthony Weiner, yes.
No, in Catherine, he was saying.
I never played Catherine. I just watched videos about Catherine.
You should play Catherine.
Someone is pouring the most delicious sounding drink I ever heard.
Or just peeing. Just peeing all the time.
How can I describe it's I feel like it's more like Braid because each room has its own shtick. And there are
Oh, yet another competitive first person shooter.
What?
What? Wait, what?
Well, because
what is happening?
I should back that. Okay, so before I made the joke when you were talking about first person shooters about yet another action or puzzle platformer with an art style.
Oh, yeah.
So now I'm backing it up and doing the reverse.
Oh.
See what I did there?
That was a hell of a joke.
But both of the games that I've talked about are really, really good. And you should play both of them.
Can we just distill every game we talk about to like its genre?
Yes.
And one salient feature about it?
Yeah. Yeah. Like really cynically too.
Yet another action platformer with a compelling lead character.
It's brutally hardcore for the hardcore audience. Mega Man-esque.
Compelling story.
Metroidvania.
And I love everything about that game. When you rescue, the whole point of Escape Go 2 is to rescue sheep.
Not your mother's platformer.
When you rescue a sheep, they all say some vaguely philosophical, usually nihilistic thing. It's just like one sentence, but it has nothing to do with what's happening, and the game has no story. And it's just, I just love that about it. Like one sheep will be like, just leave me here. There's all the knowledge I need is here. And that's it.
That's pretty good.
You guys should try it.
How much is it, Jamie?
Either 9 or 10.
Okay.
It's definitely less than, it's either 10 or less. And it's worth it because the main game, if you just rush through, you'll get like 4 hours. And I think there's like another 4 hours. And some of the best puzzles I've ever played in a game.
I remember I played the Escape Goat 1 demo, and the music was awesome.
Yes, music is fantastic.
Good music in a puzzle game goes a long way, I feel.
Marble thingies and whatnot.
I loved the art style and the music so much that I've been playing it on my Ultrabook, that I got a mini HDMI to HDMI cable, so I'm using my laptop as like an HDPC, and I have a controller, so I'm like using my TV to absorb as much goat as possible.
That's really funny. Awesome, though.
Yeah, try that. And the last one I'll say really quickly is I tried Mercenary Kings for about an hour. The game's great. You should try it.
Yes, oh, let's play Mercenary Kings.
I haven't touched it yet.
You should. It's so good.
I'll try it. So good. I haven't been able to boot my PS4 in like a week.
Wait, because of real life issues or PS4 issues?
Oh, just life. No, oh,
okay.
No,
okay,
problems.
Good.
All right, good. Yeah.
The art in that game, I'll let Griffin talk about that game, but the art in that game is great.
No, it's totally Scott Pilgrim.
What about Tomb Raider 2?
Oh, yeah. I played 30 seconds of Tomb Raider 2.
No.
I had the time of my life.
Did the butler fart?
The butler farted.
Yeah.
But that game's control. So I was telling you guys a little bit about this. Did you guys remember that in those old Tomb Raider games, there's literally different buttons for, like you basically rotate on an axis.
Yeah.
And then you go
forward. It's pre-tank control, tank controls.
Yeah.
And then if you want to sidestep, it's the bumpers.
Yep. Shimmy until there is room, baby.
And if you want to like line up a jump properly, it's impossible because if you press the jump button, she doesn't jump until one or two steps after you press it.
Yeah, not until you let go of the button. It's like two beats afterwards.
Yeah, it's exactly two beats afterwards. It's the most unintuitive thing.
Just you explore that manner until you can't explore it anymore.
Oh, man. But I want to hear Griffin talk more about Mercenary Kings because I've only played a little bit of it.
I've played probably 3-4 hours of it so far.
Wow.
I played it on the Vita through Remote Play, which it works great on. One of the best things you can play through that device because besides it looking super sharp, like the control format works out perfectly since it's kind of arcadey. Like you don't need the extra buttons, like all you're using is the face buttons and the trigger buttons, so no worries there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
what is it?
Mercenary Kings. Okay, it is described on the internet as Contra meets Monster Hunter meets Metal Slug.
Whoa!
Yeah,
it really feels that way.
That sounds amazing.
Okay, the Contra part is each level is like a shooter. You know, you have a pretty limited action set. Like, you can shoot and jump and roll. And
jump and shoot.
Yep. And then it is... it is... What was the other one? Metal Slug, because it has that, like, really sexy 8-bit sprite art style. With tons of animations and cool dudes and parachutes and people and knives and kind of bloody and robots and all this stuff. Like, it's very, very animation heavy, very cool. And then Monster Hunter, because you're constantly collecting materials and you're going back to stages to farm materials and collect items, and you're even, like, capturing enemies to utilize them for resources at the end of a mission. And then all that is going to serve you to buy a better or pieces to make a better, cooler gun, or buy a better, cooler knife, or customize your character differently.
Can I play it on the internet with my friends?
Yes. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
But I hear it sucks. I haven't played it on the internet with my friends, but I hear it's kind of crappy because of a shared life situation. But I'd like to try it with you guys at some point because it's really good.
I'm down.
I don't know, Jeff, if you'll like it because I know I hated it at first because the jump has a delay to it. It's not a Mario
jump.
Oh,
I loved it. Oh, I loved it for that reason. You didn't like that?
No, I didn't like it because it didn't feel like Metal Slug, and it didn't feel like Mario. So it had this kind of weird lag to it. But, Jamie, after I played it for like maybe an hour, I was like, okay, now I totally get how this is supposed to work. Like, it has that like arcade delay. So I'm really enjoying it now.
So what happened with me is I thought my TV wasn't on game mode. So I made sure my TV was on game mode, and then I was like, all right, so this is supposed to happen. And when I realized that, I literally spent 15 minutes just jumping. It's so much fun. I just jumped to the top of that starter level, and then I jumped back down again.
I don't think that would deter me necessarily. Okay. I'm excited to check it out.
Jamie, you got to pull that microphone away.
Sorry.
Don't ever breathe again.
Stop it. If you've ever played the Scott Pilgrim versus the World PlayStation 3 downloadable game, it is in that exact same art style, like super gorgeous, super hot, sexy, pixelated, everything, like, or sorry, sprite based, heavy animation, very cool. But what makes it so cool besides that is like your character customization. So like, you know, if you look at it at face value, you're like, oh, it's Metal Slug. Like, I run to the right and shoot things and cut people's necks. But it's a little different because instead of, like, heavy machine gun, rocket launcher, you're going to the base camp and you're collecting these resources and then buying equipment that you can affix to your gun. So you're like, okay, I have this pistol and I'm going to stick this shotgun barrel on it with a submachine gun stock and a sniper rifle scope. And now you have this like totally obscure, crazy Borderlands gun that shoots anus chickens out across the whole screen. Like it just has like, it's not that absurd, but like it has
anus
that...
chickens. By the way, the name of my new band. Go on, sorry.
I don't know where I am. You can customize the guns. And that makes your character unique. And there's also like perks that you can buy to add to your character that kind of differentiates you. And there is a lot of surprising depth to it with multiplayer. Unfortunately, Jamie, what I've noticed with the time of single player I've played with it is it still feels like the early access game for the PC that it was like 3 months ago, where... you know, the music is super limited, the art with the palette's really limited, the locations are super limited, the enemy types are very limited. So, like, I've only spent so much time with it. I just got corporal ranking, so I don't know if it's going to unlock further. But right now, it just feels very Monster Hunter, where it's like, here's one island, I'm going to spend a lot of time here. I think that's a problem with Monster Hunter games.
Mm. Yeah, tedium. Just from glancing at a couple of reviews, seems to be a complaint.
Yes, yeah, well said, yep.
But tedium is alleviated by hanging with friends.
Totally, yeah. And if you can customize your dudes, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll grab it and try it out with someone, hopefully. Jamie, did you have additional things on Mercenary Kings?
No, not really. I like the way... I'm just having fun with it. It's awesome.
Jamie, are you playing as a lady or a dude?
Playing as lady.
I knew it.
Yes. What is her name? What is your name?
I just chose Empress, is it? The default.
Okay.
Yeah.
You always choose the default.
You always choose the default.
Always.
It's always a mistake, because then what happens is you go back to the game after a couple of months and you're like, what the fuck is that name? Such a bad idea.
No, that's way better. You're like, yes, that's the name I chose.
I always choose the default, because if I don't choose the default, I can't live with myself. Mm. And if there's not a default to choose, then I have spent a long time and get very distressed. And sometimes I text or call Jamie and ask him for help. This has happened before.
I regret not playing as the lady, because the boobs, dude, the reload. Jiggle. What's that?
The boobs jiggle.
Well, yeah, that's the one. That's number one. But the number two is the dude reload noises are really annoying. So I would hope that the lady noises are less annoying.
Can I tell you guys the weirdest thing?
Nope.
So
skip.
So Shannon is, like, you know, ardent feminist, and she will criticize things in games, like, for example, in God of War 3, when there was a weird harpy enemy with breasts, she was like, that's superfluous. And I was like, stop making fun of my game, woman. Leave me alone. And,
and your voice cracked strategically. Leave me alone.
So when the boobies started jiggling in this game, I thought that she was, because she was watching me play, I thought that she was going to get mad, but she didn't. She didn't mind it, because she thought it was cool that in a game like that, they let you be a girl in the first place. And a lot of the kind of ancillary helper characters in, like, the home base area are also girls. So she was like, it's okay. Hmm. So
Shannon approved.
Shannon approved.
I was actually kind of happy that I chose the guy later, because there was too many ancillary lady characters that all look the same in the base.
I don't think they look the same. The robot lady girl has a cool thing going on, and I'll agree with you though that the guy ancillary characters, they all have more character.
The dude is Snake. Like, you play as him, and he has a headband that goes over his eyes, and he doesn't say anything, and he just mumbles.
I will be happy to play the guy when I get the game to fight for men's rights.
Well, I'm playing as the man.
In a world where men are really just losing all power.
Yeah, totally.
Really, you know, this is one of the few arenas where I get to choose to give power back to men.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Power to the man.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's a tragedy.
Amen.
It is.
Amen.
It's not a woman.
W-O-M-Y-N.
Yeah.
Get back in my rib, ladies.
So, Jamie, have you played anything else besides Mercenary Kings, Titanfall, and Escape Guat?
No, that's it.
All right, cool.
Oh, Jeff and I played another round of Assassin's Creed 4 online, which continues to be awesome.
Cool.
But that's, I don't want to talk about that. Are
you still
mention.
Both own that game? No, I'm surprised.
We're going to talk about that, and just, we're not, there's nothing to talk about. That game's really fun.
Great.
Yeah, every time we play it, we have more fun than I think we will.
Excellent. Then, 6 months later, it still holds up.
The netcode is freaking terrible, though.
Yeah, it's
still
awful.
But, oh, we played Dead Nation first. Remember Dead Nation?
That game sucks.
Yeah, the game's the worst.
No, it's so bad.
Wait, what do you not like about it?
Everything.
Everything.
What? It's like generic game of the game.
What?
It's so boring.
Why?
We kill the zombies. Here's your gun. Oh, your gun's out. You're dead.
I was what? Super excited. I was like, oh, Housemark. They made a Resogun. And then we played it, and it was like the most boring, plotting, tedious game.
Really?
Yeah. You just shoot the zombies over and over and over again, and nothing else happens.
Oh, so maybe you prefer to rescue enough. All the humans or something?
Yes. You get to throw them. Plus their voxels.
This I played a lot of that game when it came out on the old gen consoles. A ton of it.
I think it was back when, like, twin stick shooters were relatively, like, nascent.
No, it wasn't. No.
I think it was not back when they were relatively nascent, and people still liked it anyway for
it
reasons
was
that
like
I fully understand.
In 2010.
Okay.
When that came out.
I don't know.
If we played maybe a little more, Jeff, maybe we would have gotten to a little more deep into the game. Maybe
it
would have changed, but at the beginning, the beginning was so uninspiring and not fun that I think we were turned off.
It is pretty slow at the beginning. Like, it is kind of a first-person game when you're playing at the beginning. Like, you can do it all on your own. There's not a huge challenge. It's just...
You mean single player.
Yeah, sorry. It's like, you can just kind of, like, single player. It's probably best to do that, because then you can farm all the resources, knock open all the chests, get all the gold, and then keep going through your upgrade path. And then maybe consider going into a multiplayer setting where you're both specced out in a way that you can destroy zombies later on, because it gets crazy hard, like, towards the end.
I just wasn't having any fun playing it at all.
there are some really weird things about it. Like, you have a dash that is kind of like your twin stick shooter invulnerability dash, but it's kind of weird because you're not a spaceship, and it's hard to deal with that.
I just thought it was, like, really slow and plodding, and I didn't enjoy shooting things. It's like I enjoy it in, like, Geometry Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That's fair enough. Like...
Yeah. Also, the story was, like, threadbare, and, like, what was there was, like, just kind of disgusting.
like, yeah, I don't like, know. Better or worse
nothing
than
like
Metal
Lara
Gear.
Crofton.
Than what?
Christian? Better or worse than Metal Gear? Ground Zeroes.
Definitely worse.
Wow. Okay.
This is the story. The outbreak killed a lot of people, but not us.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to kill some guys, but otherwise we're going to kill ourselves.
I don't know what's wrong with that, though. Like, that's... I just... You're set up to go shoot monsters, and...
I'm Balls and Explosion, and this is Tits McGee.
Yeah. Yeah.
It literally started with one of those things where it's like a TV, but it keeps flashing between channels, and then there's like a shot of like havoc in the streets, and then a shot of like a DNA molecule, and then a shot of something else. But their shots are even bad. Like, at one point there's just a shot of like a golden lab running down a city street as if
it's somebody's thumb is over in the corner of the picture.
And then, like, a red filter across the picture.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe I need to check out the PS4 version and see how bad it actually is.
Yeah, maybe it's just the PS4 version. I think its biggest issue, though, is just, like, there are much better versions of that. Like, Alien Swarm was way more fun than that, and I didn't play very much of Alien Swarm.
Lara Croft and Guardian of Light.
Yeah that game's really good.
That had way more personality than Dead Nation ever had. And it was, like, by all accounts, like, a pretty stupid game, like, story-wise, just, like, terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it was so much fun to play.
Yeah, but if they're not those... I'm sorry. If you're going to those games for story, you're definitely going to be disappointed.
Well, I agree there. But I think the difference between Lara Croft and Dead Nation is that Lara Croft was, like, dumb, but, like, kind of bombastically dumb, and Dead Nation was just kind of tepid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, it's the apocalypse.
Right.
Well put, Jeff.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you had the characters of Lara Croft, who was as she is, and then guy who throws a spear really
like
fast.
Like Inotep or whatever.
Yeah. Legend of the Hidden Temple incarnate.
Yeah. I want to play that game again. Just check the grenades.
I'm figuring out that if, like, so you guys have, like, Snake. Like, you've played a lot of Metal Gear Solid
games.
Like,
Snake for the Nokia?
Kids.
Yes.
No, like, you have Snake. Like, Snake is, like, a character that you love, and you've played most of his games, and you know him well, and you, like... But, like, the only person that I have like that is Lara Croft.
You don't even pronounce her name right, you bastard.
Final Fantasy.
And she's nothing. Except in the new game, she's pretty interesting.
What are you talking about, Jimmy? Until... You have that. That's Mario for you.
No, I think my love affair with Mario runs deeper than Jamie's.
Yeah,
probably.
And I never even owned a Genesis, so I can't say Sonic. I can't say Crash Bandicoot because I
think you can say Sonic, though, because you have, like, a deep affinity for him.
I do have a deep affinity
like,
for
I
Sonic.
Like, I think Sonic is your fursona.
But it doesn't... Gross. It doesn't need to be exclusive, right? Like, you can like Mario if Jeff likes Mario.
No, but that's not what I'm talking. I'm talking about, like, is in your blood.
Yeah, like a core affinity. Like, your aura radiates with the essence of...
Okay. Okay,
X.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe I have Sonic because I have over 100 issues of the Sonic the Hedgehog comic book from the 90s.
And you sent me a picture of Sonic one time.
And
how much
I
do you like
pictures.
Chili dogs?
I actually love chili dogs.
Yes.
I loved both versions of the Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon that were on when we were young.
But if someone tries to touch you in a bad place, that's no good.
And it's Jaleel White. You can't get better than that.
He's in both of them.
I know. Oh, my God. Have you guys seen the Psych episodes with Jaleel White? It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to watch. There's two of them. Go watch them.
It's no, a carnal pleasure
never.
To watch.
Let's see here. Jeff, have you been playing any video games?
Yeah, I have been playing a few.
What is Project Zomboid? I have no idea what that is.
You listen, we're going to go in the order these were written in.
No, I don't want to go in the order.
Okay, let me talk about Project Zomboid.
Thank you.
So Project Zomboid is a game that I kind of had my eye on for a while. I had been hesitating to pick it up because it's kind of, it's very much still in development. But I got a friend online. Mm. And
was it Notch?
Is my friend Notch?
Yeah.
My friend is Notch. Okay. For the purposes of this conversation, my friend Notch was like, hey, I'm Swedish. You want to play a game?
Adam, or I don't know, that guy from MySpace?
Yeah, it's Tom from MySpace.
I was never on MySpace, so I don't know.
Anyway, he's
Edward,
like, hey.
It's Edward Snowden.
He was like, hey, let's play a multiplayer game. It's called NSA. So he's like, let's play a multiplayer game. And we were looking for games, and he's like, I just bought Project Zomboid. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's on Steam Early Access, because it is. And so I grabbed it. And
your conversations with this guy sound really bad. Like, was really
it
stilted.
Jim?
You people shut your mouth. Anyway, so I bought Project Zomboid, and we checked it out together. And let me tell you about this game. So it is Zombie Apocalypse, as you might have guessed from the Zombs.
Nope.
Okay, well, it is. It's Zombie Apocalypse, except it takes a very different approach than any other Zombie Apocalypse game I've ever seen.
You've hooked me.
Okay, keep going.
And it focuses entirely on... Well, not entirely.
Cooking.
It focuses mostly on kind of like the... Almost like kind of like the banality or the banality of like... Sort of like day-to-day like life.
Zombie dating sim.
In an end of times world. So like...
Oh, like
it's almost a little bit like The Sims.
Okay.
Or like,
oh, you got me now.
Like maybe even like your Don't Starve, with some resource management and crafting, except with zombies. And all the zombies are like they're not runners, they're shamblers. They walk really slow, and you can easily take
oh
one
like
zombie
zombies,
out. Yeah, like actual zombies, as
not like
to,
horse like, crap zombies.
Exactly correct, Griffin. You said it well. All the zombies are shamblers, and you can easily take out one. You could probably take out two, but you can't take out like 20. And if you fuck up in this game, you will get like 20 chasing you.
Ugh.
And this is the kind of game where, like, 90% of the time you're doing everything right and everything's fine, and you're having a relaxing time. You're not even really thinking about the zombies. But then, like, 10% of the time, or even 1% of the time, you fuck up majorly, and then you pay dearly for it.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, and so the concept is like, you know, maybe you left the door open at night, or maybe you left the lights on and the zombie saw you through the window, and zombies start attacking your window and then break into your window and go into your house and kill you. And it's just a very different feel than any other game, because most of your gameplay, like I said, is just focused upon, you know, like, I got to survive in this world, I got to get by, you know, I got to get all the shit I need, I got to learn how to cook, I got to keep myself entertained by reading the occasional book. It's almost a little bit boring, but then the moments when you fuck up are like the interesting moments. And again, you know, this is very early in the game's development, but what I played was like a multiplayer beta, and not everything was totally functional, but the core concept, it feels like it's in a decent place. I was able to hop into a server and meet up with this person. And we kind of wandered around. We were just kind of hanging out together. And it's just like, most of the time it was like a low-key environment. And there were these moments of tension where there were zombies. But most of the time, you weren't like just permanently on edge. but like you were kind of battling like your emotions, like you're battling like, you know, feelings of unease, and you're battling, you know, the rain and just like kind of the shit that you wouldn't think of dealing with in your typical zombie game. But
How does that correlate to actual gameplay? Like, is it dealing with meters and gauges that are depleting? Like, don't starve, like, constantly having to worry about your food intake and your sanity? Or is it like, literally affecting your gameplay where if it's rainy, you can't see far into it? Like, there's a blinder on it something?
Good question, Griffin. So, okay, let me just say it's an isometric game, first of all.
I didn't think it was such a good question.
Shut up.
No, I'm joking.
It's an isometric game. So you guys both know what that means, right?
No.
So there's no perspective.
It's Mario RPG. You know how Mario RPG looked?
Like isometry.
It's like, okay, you know how
are there
Final Fantasy Tactics? You know Final Fantasy Tactics? You know how that looks?
Rhombus.
You know how it's like a grid?
Like an ISO? Like a state?
It's viewed from like a 45 degree upward angle. Okay, fuck all of you. So anyway, it's an isometric game. Looks a little bit like The Sims, like I said. There are definitely hidden meters that are going, and you'll like get hungry, and a little moodlet will pop up that says you're hungry. Mm-hmm. As you get hungrier, it affects your ability to move, affects other things. You can be more susceptible to disease. Like I know in the rain, your disease susceptibility and your increases and your movement speed decreases, and you can get wetter and wetter.
I'm getting wetter and wetter.
Ooh. And if like you're in pain, it's harder to move, and you're more susceptible to injuries, I think. So there's like that kind of stuff going on, and they do have effects on your like perceptual abilities and your movement abilities, and you know, you have the kind of stuff like inventory management. Like a lot of what we did was like looting other houses, looking for food to bring back to our house to pop in the fridge. And it's the kind of game where it's like it's very ambitious, and again, you know, the question becomes whether or not they will deliver on everything. But like we have to cook food in the oven, and it's if you leave the oven on, you can burn the house down.
So, I mean, you keep saying all these things that are like, if you do this or if you leave this thing open or on, like what with a game that is similar to this that has you like dealing with resource like Terraria or SteamWorld Dig or something, like you're playing in a playground where you're not 100% certain of the effect, the cause and effects of certain things. So how come not putting food in the fridge is a challenging thing? Like, is this just my college roommate, the game? Or is this like, there are actually gameplay things that go into not being able to lock the door when you come in the house?
I think it's just a matter of they want to kind of simulate the experience of like a zombie movie where everything goes to shit because somebody forgets to do something that they ordinarily would remember to do.
But I'm saying, like, is there a dice roll or, like, the things you've said so far seem like really obvious things that, like, maybe I just have been reading the zombie survival guide too often, but, like, what?
No, I would say that I haven't seen dice rolls. I think the thing that kind of makes you eventually fuck up is that you're kind of resource bound. I don't think you can create, like, a sustainable... Like, when the game starts, it always says, this is how you died. Mm-hmm. And I think the presumption is, like, eventually you're fucked because you don't have enough to feed yourself for the rest of your life. The world is limited. You're going to have to venture into dangerous territory eventually. I think that's the premise.
So, the game says, this is how you died? What does that mean? What examples can you give for that?
When the story starts, it says, like, these are end times, you know, blah, blah, blah. This is how you died, and then you're dropped into the world. Here is the story of how this guy died that's going to unfold right now. It's similar to The Sims in that, like, you kind of role play a little bit. I think it's more fun when you kind of connect with your character on some level. You connect with what they've done so far. Like, you as you're doing stuff, you're kind of telling a story, you know? By your actions. Mm-hmm. I think that makes it a more engaging game. And I think that the multiplayer, you know, there'll be some, I'm sure there'll be some PvP stuff. I'm sure there'll be some cooperative stuff. I think it'll be kind of it'll be different from DayZ in that the gameplay, I mean, the feel of the world is just so much different. I just don't see how it can be anything like the Wild West that is DayZ. Mm-hmm. it'll just be it'll I think there'll be a lot more collaboration in this world. I think there'll be a lot more interesting stuff going on. There'll be more communities, I think, because of the slower pace of the game.
Sure.
And I think the advantages of sharing resources will become more apparent in this game, because you don't hold everything on your person. You have to store stuff in containers, which are like in permanent locations. So I think, you know, it'll create some interesting stuff. And they have a lot of ambitious stuff going on in the single player mode. I have no idea whether or not that's going to come to pass. Like, they want to script out some interesting random events. They had a demo floating around way back in the day where like a drifter shows up at your house and he ends up being like a criminal who wants to kill you. And then he like kills your wife. But I don't know if that's like a thing that will still. I don't know what's becoming of that, but what I did play was fun. It definitely had a different feel. It's definitely very rough and very, very alpha, but it was cool. I had a good time with it. So that's all I really need from any game.
Are okay. DayZ and Rust and all of these other games, are they all the same game?
Yep. It's all just hardcore Minecraft.
Well, without the creative element.
No, there's still that there. Like, you still have to gather resources and build crap, except it's the sheer delight of making Mega Man statues. It's to survive.
Well, you don't really. I have Daisy. You don't really build anything. You just kind of gather like food. You just loot, basically.
Okay.
It's like some extremely basic.
But
like,
Rust is different, though.
Okay. I haven't played Rust.
Rust is actual crafting. Like, I don't know if it's resource based, but like. You have to make things.
The big hook for DayZ, Jamie, was it was kind of this big experiment. Like, let's create a world without goals with lots of zombies that'll chase you down, dump players into it, not tell them whether or not to cooperate, and just see what happens. And then you get different types of personalities on display. Some people work together. You know, when you encounter a stranger, you have to be wary. It kind of simulates how, if the world were like to degenerate into like some kind of crazy post-apocalyptic state, you know, could you trust your fellow person? That was the idea.
Is it fun?
It's super glitchy, and it's based off another game that is really
based off Arma, right?
Yes, it's based off Arma.
Yeah.
And it is just hard to play. It the concept is interesting, but it's just that you're fighting the controls the whole way.
What is this new phenomenon in games where there's one game that I've never heard of, and then it's modded?
Uh-oh.
50 million people are playing it, and there's tournaments. Like, when did that start happening?
I have the answer right here for you, Jamie.
Warcraft 3?
Minecraft.
Okay.
Because
Warcraft 3 with Dota, but go on.
Yeah.
No, that's a good point. Dota has definitely... But I think that's evolved into its own thing. Minecraft, from what I've observed with my stepson and nephews and all that stuff over the years, is Minecraft has enough tools in it that people create their own games within the world, like as you would want somebody to do with Little Big Planet or something. But they're not original. Like, that DayZ mod exists, except it's called Hunger Games Lobby. Or whatever.
I think you're selling DayZ short with Hunger Games.
Okay.
DayZ is a different kind of game. There are no rules. You don't have to kill your fellow person.
Well, you don't have to either in Minecraft Hunger Games. That's just what they call it.
No, but I would argue that DayZ is more an exploration of like the human psyche.
Yes.
Okay, fine. Go on.
It is a game built around that, but this is a mod built around a game that has a million other mods floating around that somebody's like, hey, this would be a really cool idea to make this thing where you just have to murder each other. Well, what would happen if we ganged up?
I don't know. I think I still feel like you're kind of selling DayZ a little short, but I don't
know. Should I try DayZ?
You sure?
No,
yeah.
It's buggy. I wouldn't bother.
But are the bugs so bad? Because it sounds like you're saying that it almost succeeds at what it sets out to do, which is to allow different people's personalities to be like the highlight of the game.
Yeah.
But are you saying that the glitches are so bad that it's just unplayable?
It's the kind of game where it's like hard to loot things. Like, you need to pick up stuff from the environment, and that is not even easy to figure out how to do.
Gotcha.
But yes, I would say that even in spite of the fact that the base game it was created from, and now it stands alone now, but it was created from a base game that had really shitty mechanics, but people still loved it because the concept was so interesting and novel.
I see.
But anyway.
Totally different from Minecraft.
I think it's pretty different from Minecraft. But okay.
Yeah. Agree to disagree.
Okay. All indie games are the same.
They are.
You guys talk about video games like I talk about politics with our friend Axel, who is like on the opposite end of the spectrum from me. Most of our conversations end with, okay.
It's interesting because, I'm not usually one from whom you can elicit a strong opinion either way. So to be like this in a podcast is always entertaining. Yeah. Would you agree, Jamie, that I always try to remain level-headed?
Yeah, you'll even play devil's advocate against yourself.
Jeff, I think that's probably the problem with both of us, though, is we both try and stay very level-headed and see both sides of it. And now it's like, no.
Video games is great because you don't have to. It's not real enough.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all horse garbage. Who gives a shit?
You just choose what you want to do and you run with it. Right. That's why it's so awesome.
But yeah. So Project Zomboid is pretty cool. I'll keep you guys posted if I play it more. I probably will, but I'll let you know.
Is that going to come out for console devices or is that a PC only thing?
I don't see consoles coming anytime soon because it's the kind of game where it really benefits from a very active development. Much like Minecraft. Although yeah. Minecraft did hit consoles eventually. I don't see this game gaining the kind of traction that a game even like DayZ gained. It's going to cater to a more core audience.
Okay.
Like maybe it probably would cater well to like tabletop RPG fans almost. It might cater well also to people who like Shambler Zombies, who want a different experience. I think it'll be niche. It'll do well as a niche title though. So, but anyway, I will talk about other stuff I played. I also played the PlayStation 3 and Vita title. I played it on Vita, Luftrausers, which is a Vlambeer title by the developer of Ridiculous Fishing. Super Crate Box. Did you guys play either of these two games?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Did that guy make Threes?
No, he did not make Threes. Oh. although I've heard good things, I guess. Luftrausers So Vlambeer's thing is like very arcadey games. They're like mobile games, like mobile arcadey score attack games done interestingly. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that, Griffin?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ridiculous Fishing, 100%.
Yeah. The hook with this game is you are... No, it's not. That would work better with Ridiculous Fishing. You are like a fighter plane, and you get... The game starts, you get launched out of a boat, and it actually has oddly Tomb Raider-esque controls where you hold up to accelerate, and you have to hit left and right to adjust the direction of your ship, which is super awkward at first. And you can also stall your engine by just not pressing anything, and you'll slowly fall. And you have to kind of wrestle with this weird-ass control scheme and try to kill as many dudes as possible, and it quickly becomes like bullet hell. And you can like dive under the water a little bit, and there's boats in the water, and you can hit through the boats to melee them, but you take damage in the process, and you can kill them. And then you're probably dead within like a minute or less. But then you unlock new shit for your ship in the typical kind of mobile progression. You unlock lots of different customizations for your body. And you have, at any given moment, you have three customizations. You have your gun, your body, and your tail, basically, or like your engine. And every combination has a different name and a slightly different theme. Like it's all variations on the same theme. But they all have different like musical themes, and they all have different challenges associated with each part that you can equip. And it's just, it's a very arcadey kind of, you know, score-driven game. Bit of a time waster. I vacillated on purchasing it. I got it kind of on the strength of Metacritic's. Yeah, I know. But it's a fun game. I tried it at PAX, and I liked it a bit. It's fun. I like it a lot. I don't know if it's worth its asking price, which I think is $15 or something like that.
Yeah.
But it is a fun game, and I played it in my downtime. It's got some pretty baller music. It's got some fun looking characters, like a stern looking military lady with an eye patch, like an older woman, like not like anime eye patch lady, but like she just looks really cool.
Jeff, the things that give you boners aren't the same things that give everyone else boners.
No. I wouldn't say this game gives me boners. Oh, are you talking about the lady with the eye patch?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Yes.
Well, yeah. This game doesn't give me boners, but it's a fun game. It's been a nice little time waster. You guys should check out some videos, see if it looks fun, but maybe
Want to play it. I agree with you, Jeff. The asking price seems a little high coming from that game design pedigree.
Yeah, exactly. I've always had kind of a fraught relationship with Lambert. Like, I respect the dude for making interesting variations on the score attack theme. I'm also not huge on score attack, so it's kind of like a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But I would say I think it's on Steam as well. Wait for it to drop to like $2 in a Steam sale and snatch it up and have a little good time with it.
Sure, sure. I think what that Vlambeer did really well with their game style was like it is the distillation ultimate enjoyability of like mobile game where you can play it for 2 minutes and you have a great, amazing experience. Mm-hmm. Like you don't have to sit down for 10 minutes with it. You're not on a stupid fake bus ride that only people on the West Coast have that like you can play a game with. Like in real life, you can just sit and play 5 minutes with this game and it's really fun. Like Ridiculous Fishing, I had that with, and Super Great Box is the same way. Like it's very short, very intense. And this game looks the same to me, but I just think like 10, 15 bucks is, that's a lot for that.
It's a little rich, yeah. And I've played Ridiculous Fishing on my girlfriend's iPhone, and I've played Super Crate Box on my Vita. I got it on PlayStation Mobile. I'm like the only person who goes on there. Mm-hmm. I like them both, but again, I get sick of them, and I'm sure I'll get sick of Luftrausers in the same way.
Yeah.
And it is a mobile game.
That's what mobile games are for.
It has all the strengths and pitfalls of a mobile game. I mean, this one is not. It's not going to be on iOS or Android because it's made for buttons. But it has the soul of a mobile game.
Yeah.
But that's that. It's fun. It's not worth $15, but it's fun. And then also, I have been playing. Well, I'm not so sure it's fair to say I've been really playing that much of it. But I popped in the cartridge for Deception 4: Blood Ties, which is a weird-ass niche Vita title. There are more and more of them coming out these days. Griffin's waiting on Monster Mon Piece.
Yes.
but Deception 4 is it is a game where you play as like an evil demon lady, and you want to kill dudes who go into your castle. And the way you do it is instead of actually hurting them yourself, You don't show them your boobies, Griffin.
No, I'm
damn
just...
it.
you lay down traps in the level. It's like you're in like a castle.
Home Alone 2.
Yeah, pretty much. You can hit a button, and the game zooms out and pauses, and you can just set up traps all over the level, and they're like stupid traps. Like some of them are like violent and like swinging scythes and stuff, but some of them are like a pumpkin drops on your head.
Yeah, like a pot falls on your head.
Yeah, or like you get launched onto a sawhorse. And like get spanked because
is this
Japan.
Tower defense. Tower defense game.
Not really.
No, I would say its closest analog would be like The Incredible Machine. Have you ever played that game?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much like that. They just give you a lot of toys, and kind of a vaguely defined objective, and it's your goal to make that happen in kind of a flashy, fun Rube Goldbergian way. I am like 10 missions deep into the tutorial or something. It's like 20 mission tutorial.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a slow paced tutorial. Each tutorial is like, the first one's like, press the X button to lock onto something.
Typical Japanese bullshit.
Yeah. anyway, I'm excited to play it. It looks stupid and goofy as hell. And I love the Incredible Machine, and I wanna make a spike wall that launches a person into a shifting floor that makes them fall on some spikes and then, I don't know, get a balloon popped on their butt or something.
That sounds amazing. I think Dale North posted a video of that way back when, and I got really excited.
Yeah, I just bought it on a whim. It has like I think Destructoid liked it, and like every other outlet was like, yeah. But I was like, I'm gonna buy this and just see what it's like.
This game is related to a PlayStation 2 video game called Trapped.
Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
Game Informer did a full playthrough of that recently, and that's how I'm aware of it. But if you look at like the history lineage of the series, it is bananas. Like, it is like some of it gets ported to America in a weird title like... completely unrelated to any of the other games, and now this is like Deception 4-9 in Japan, but technically Trapped 3 in America, and the titling is just totally crazy.
There's a lady on the cover that has a short skirt, and you can see a lot of her legs.
Yes.
And she has like a booby shirt.
Deception.
It's a weird game. It looks really fun. But it looks really fun. I'm pretty excited to get into it and just have a good time. Honestly, I don't expect anything that's going to change the world, but I expect fun little machines that launch people and shoot them in the air and make their armor come off and stuff.
You're essentially making your own Spelunky dungeon.
Yeah, pretty much. So I played that, and then the last thing I played. For the zillionth week in a row is just Dark Souls. I made it to Anor Londo, for those of you who know what that even means. I killed the Iron Golem at the top of Sense Fortress.
Oh, Jen knows.
Pain in the ass. Jen knows. She knows all about it. That game is still super awesome, and I love it. And I hate it, because it kills me all the time, but it's super fun. That's all I need to say about that.
I guess you weren't prepared to die.
Oh.
Oh. Oh. Oh. Griffin, did you play anything else?
I played Dark Souls 2. It's better than Dark Souls.
Is 2 better than 1? Yeah.
2 is better than 1.
No, 2. 1 is the saddest. 1 is the saddest experience that you'll ever know. 2 can be as sad as 1.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you, 1 is the loneliest number?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I played more Dark Souls 2. I made this bizarrely impossible, miraculous discovery where I crushed through a million obstacles that I had. I was sick last weekend. I had a bottle of whiskey. And for some reason, I just broke through every hurdle that I had.
It's really great in Dark Souls games to encounter an impossible boss and then remember that like you can two-hand your weapon and like...
Nope.
Okay.
Wasn't any of that. That's why it didn't make any sense. Like, the odds were 100% against me.
Let me guess. Built into the PS3 controller is a breath test.
Yeah, it was like whiskey.
Yeah.
An inebriation sensor was like, hey, do you have... I got like a drunk strength perk in Dark Souls 2. Or just
sounds
murdered
like Dark Souls.
Everybody. Actually,
I was gonna say more fully, like you realize you can do that, but that you also like summon some deep internal strength and like learn how to dodge something that seemed undodgeable before, or just reformulate everything, and then you break through the hurdle of killing a boss.
Yeah, it was exactly that. Like, it was just like I had been secretly, subconsciously stewing on these 3 or 4 things for a week. And then just all the demons came out when I was like, okay, I'm just doing this for 5 hours uninterrupted. Nobody's talking to me in this room here. Going to play Dark Souls. And that's what happened. I just crushed it. And now I've gotten to a new new stymie. Like, I am dead in the water at this point.
For now. It is a game that actually lends itself surprisingly well to stopping and starting a lot.
Yeah, hopefully.
I mean, it sounds like that's what it's supposed to do.
Hopefully.
I mean,
hopefully.
You can marathon it if you want.
You can, but the internet consensus is this boss that I'm at is one of the worst things in this game. And in my mind, like, removed from what the internet says, what I want to do, I cannot do until I get past this part. Like, I want to enchant weapons or look into moving forward with my, like, weapon progression.
Oh, you want to get like a lightning weapon or something?
Essentially, I want to, like, yeah, I want to take my weapons in a direction that I'm not able to currently until I get past this part. But the weapons that I have had at this point that I've focused on building up, like, do negative damage against this boss that I'm currently at. So I'm kind of screwed.
Go back. Back to the beginning.
Delete it all.
Never go back.
Yeah. But this is what's also really frustrating, too, is, like, if I ever get to a boss where I, like, play it, like, 3, 4, 5 times, and I'm like, okay, I get you. I know what you're doing. I put your pieces together. Like, I'm not going to replay this over and over again because, you know, I don't have the time. I'll, like, summon another player into my game, which has different ramifications, and then that person will just decimate this dude or distract them while I attack them slowly. And you know, they just sit there defending while I slowly whittle away on their health. But with this boss that I'm at, I have tried to do that 3 times where we run into the room, we're all fighting, and then they just get killed by the boss immediately.
Scrub, what you are.
3 of them.
Why don't you just quit games forever?
I'm gonna break this disc in half. No, I'm not. I'm not gonna do that.
Other people have beaten it.
No, they haven't. Nobody has.
Nobody's beaten the boss.
Still unbeaten. Yeah, no, this boss is it has been beaten. Yeah, I'm the scrub.
I was gonna say.
Just the fact that you almost made Jeff believe you for a second says something about this game. Like,
it's not like
possible.
That. It's not like that. It's a hard game, but it's not like that.
I'm sure Jeff will get to this point and he's like, the what? Who? Oh, yeah, that was like a mini boss, right? And I'm like, yeah, it is a mini boss. Like, it's supposed to be easy and short.
No, but Griffin, I mean, there hasn't been a boss that you've encountered that's felt truly impossible, right?
This one.
But have you damaged it?
Yes.
Okay, that's not impossible then, right?
Well, correct, yes.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a hard game, but it's not the kind of game where there is a boss that's going to sit around undefeated for months.
No, you're
someone
right.
We'll find a way to kill it in like less than 24 hours.
No. Like, people do have it beat. Like, there are tactics that are built around how to beat it. It's just,
yeah.
And there are exploits too. Like, I read online, like, oh, you should exploit this boss's weakness, which is X, Y, and Z. Like, go do this and go do that. And I'm like, okay, well, that would entail me totally retooling my entire character. I would have to spend a lot of respec points and souls on doing that. And hypothetically, I could do it. And
are you running strength or dexterity, Griffin?
Strength.
Okay. So what's... Without getting too specific.
Doesn't matter, though. In this situation, it's there is a totally humongous chasm between Dark Souls and Dark Souls 2 with melee versus magic users.
Okay. Is the problem that your weapon is just an element? An element that the boss is drawing against?
It's a butt cheek problem. The chasmous butt cheek.
Is the boss strong against the element of your weapon?
The most upgraded weapon that I have is strong against... There is weak against this boss, yes.
Okay.
However, so I have a backup weapon that is right along with the other one that's fine.
So what
if you were playing this on the PC, you wouldn't be having any problem?
Are you two-handing?
No, I'm not two-handing.
Two-handed.
No.
Double trouble.
I need a shield.
You got a two-hand.
No, well, okay. So
listen, you got to block, and then you two-hand, and then you block afterwards.
That's... You can't do that.
No, no, you block, and then you switch to two hands, and well, then you attack, and then you switch back to one hand, and then you block.
Yeah, so if you want to, yeah, that's where I'm kind of saying, like, this may be my end point with Dark Souls 2, is, like, this is the boss where I need to stop playing the way that I can play these games, where it's like, do you want to fight a boss for an hour and a half versus 20 minutes? Like, do you want to have a very difficult boss fight that is challenging, but you understand what's going on and you can just be patient and do what you're doing? Or do you need to micromanage literally every 30 seconds of this boss fight?
But the actual fight shouldn't take more than about, like, 10 minutes most, right?
False.
I haven't encountered a single...
Incorrect.
Okay, I haven't encountered a single boss in Dark Souls that's taken more... Like the
Okay,
like,
Jeff, here's a pro tip for you. Don't spec into fire in Dark Souls 2, because you'll be effed.
Okay.
Even though it is the most beneficial element to start and play as through the entire game, don't do it.
Okay.
Fire's actually okay if you're playing on PC. And fire is actually the best if you play on PC via your Nvidia Shield game.
Absolutely,
system.
Yeah. Oh. I hear that they gave a special recompense to that. Yeah.
It's all the torches. It's the torch lighting system.
I was gonna say there's been some bosses that have taken me hours to get around, like, to figure out how to beat, but the actual fight when you do finally beat them takes no more than like 10 minutes. It's just hard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure this is the same way.
Yeah. Okay.
But
okay, good.
I would say
yeah,
that...
I just don't want the impression to be created for Jamie that there are bosses that literally are like MMO-style hour-long boss fights.
Well, this one is that.
So this guy has like 30,000 health or something?
Well, okay. So the rule for Dark Souls is... Have you gathered enough things to make this fight go in your favor? Well, it's not going to take 10 minutes, or it's not going to take a half hour. It's going to take 10 minutes, right? So the game has thus far said, everything you're doing is okay. These boss fights will only take 10 to 15 minutes if you're trying to, like, do them on your own. And now here's one that is, like, clearly... You cannot do unless you completely respec yourself.
Hmm. What's the name of the boss?
Yeah. The Smelter Demon. It is universally the worst boss in the entire game.
So I thought you beat the Smelter Demon.
Nope.
Oh, okay. Bummer.
Yep, and also getting to him is a pain in the butt because you encounter enemies with elemental damages you've never dealt with before.
I'm not even going to look him up. I was starting to look him up. I want to go in blind.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
I didn't look him up.
I'm just going to, you know, in three more weeks, I'm going to be like, oh, I can't believe you didn't get to Smelter Demon. It's a thing that everybody should get through. You're absolutely right, though, Jeff. Like, it'll be a thing where I go and I play it, like, in a week and a half when I drink a bunch of espressos or something. I'm like, oh, it makes sense now.
Usually after a while, there is a way to make them palatable. Like, you'll go in there and you'll swing and you'll do like 10 damage and they'll be like, what the hell just happened?
Right.
And then it'll be like, oh, smear the resin on your weapon and then you'll do like 150 damage.
Yeah, except there's not that for this boss.
Yeah.
Like, this boss is skippable. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, did I just, like, ruin the game for you? I'm really sorry if I
did.
No.
No, you're fine for me, too. If there were more details, I would give it to him later, though.
I'm watching a video. The guy is saying exactly what you're saying, Griffin, but he's saying that if you can skip it and come back.
Totally. Like, yes, that is correct. You can skip that boss... But then you also skip that bonfire, which means you have to progress further into a dungeon full of horse poop. And it is, again, universally agreed as the worst dungeon in the entire game and the worst bosses.
I wonder if he's like Ceaseless Discharge from the first one. Did you fight that, Griffin?
No, I did not, but I've heard about it, yeah.
Ceaseless Discharge is hard as fuck, but you can kill him if you just...
You can cheese it.
You can cheese it, yeah.
Super easy.
Yeah, you can
this
cheese
you
it.
Cannot, no.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a fire elemental boss who has a crazy moveset that doesn't make any sense. Like, he's like the Tekken character of Dark Souls. You're like, I didn't know you could do a flying backflip kick off the ground. What?
You're making me excited, Griffin.
Yeah, no. I would love to. I can't wait till you guys start playing this game so you can be like, oh yeah, Smother Demon, totally, what?
Then, crap, no, I won't. I'll be with you, man. Jeff will be the one who's like, oh yeah, I put 300 hours into it. I beat the Smelter Demon 50 times.
Right. Look, but I just respect my character twice to go for an intelligence build, switch completely over to dark magic, and kill him instantly.
No.
But I'm actually pretty soaked. I'm psyched because I'm watching it, and I didn't know that the game looked this pretty, and the art on this boss is amazing.
Yes,
it looks really
game,
cool.
The lighting engine bullcrap is a bunch of bullcrap, even though it's not.
The Dark Souls series in general has a pretty awesome aesthetic going.
Yeah,
I really like the look.
It's a super cool boss too, because he's a demon who's made of fire and steel, and he fights you with fire and steel sword. And then he sticks his sword in his stomach, and he pulls it out, and it's on fire. It's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I just watched that. It is the coolest thing I've ever
seen.
It's
very
this
like
game.
When I played it the first time, I was like, "Bah, cool!" And then he
Jamie,
just instantly killed me.
You should buy Dark Souls as well.
I will. The guy just said, "I'm not spoiling anything by telling you this. I don't think it's not like a tactic or anything." The guy just said that even, I guess you get more health as you go along in this game.
Yeah.
The guy said that even if you have the most health you can possibly have in the game, this particular boss can one-shot you.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. It
Please,
is, again.
He sounds exactly like Cecil's Discharge, honestly.
It is the universally agreed upon worst part of this game.
There's always
one. Slash best part.
Sure.
No, it sounds pretty awful. Also, I was going to say, I don't really think I'm that great of a Dark Souls player, honestly. Like, I'm decent, but I just persevere. I'm not like that good. I don't think that highly of my skill. That's all.
You've got the emotional chops.
Totally.
You can
yeah.
stand up to the torture.
I guess so. I'm a patient person. So there you go.
You've got the power.
I've got the power. Jeff, can you sing the full song, please?
Whoa, whoa.
I don't know any other lyrics.
Keep going.
Neither do I.
I've got the power.
All right. Speaking of the power.
The power of the cloud.
Yes.
Robbie the robot.
Speaking of the cloud.
Guys, wait, hold on. Oh. I saw a Rob the Robot in the game store today. That's all.
Did you buy him?
No, I didn't buy him. I also saw a virtual boy.
Did you pre-order from him?
No.
Oh.
Where were these things?
In a mall in Auburn. In a store called Game Zone.
Whoa. Okay.
That had been open for 2.5 weeks and was selling a smattering of used games
at
from
extremely
consoles.
High prices.
I don't know the prices. From consoles, from the Nintendo to like PS2, and it's probably going out of business tomorrow.
Yep.
Okay. Go Griffin, go.
Oh, all I was gonna say to your comment was anytime I've seen a non-chain video game store was like their prices are 3 to 4 times what they should be.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Except Video Games New York, and the only reason that they can do that is because they're in New York.
It's like Star Fox 64 for $35. I'm like, whoa, okay.
Buy the 3DS remake. That was a pretty good remake, actually.
Or buy the PlayStation or the N64 version for $10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of rare games, Star Fox.
Whoa. Star Fox is not a. Star Fox was made by Rare.
Star Fox Adventures was.
Oh, Dinosaur Planet.
Yeah. Well, okay. I only played the other two rare games. We did videos of them. So look out for that.
Woo!
Jet Force Gemini is up now, so
I liked it on Facebook.
Nice,
great.
So what's happening, Griffin?
There's some news
that you mostly provided.
Yes, absolutely. So the most recent news today was Amazon contributed their plastic box of garbage to the entire increasing landfill of plastic garbage boxes that attach to your TV to let you watch their already existing programs on them.
Let's everyone predict how many copies the Amazon Fire TV will sell.
Okay, ready?
7,000.
Here's the thing. It's like the Kindle, and they're just gonna make it sell more and more somehow. It's not gonna sell at all for like the first 2 years, and it's just gonna keep happening.
Jeff Bezos is just gonna buy them all back and then tell his investors that this is part of the long game.
Each one is attached to a drone.
He's a crazy motherfucker. If he wanted to make a game console, he would literally not let it fail.
Well, he did.
He would literally enslave his workers until it was done.
Yep.
Well, here's the prime opportunity, because there is a device
the
out there.
Amazon prime opportunity?
Oh, shoot.
Sorry, go ahead.
Jamie, take your mic away from your face.
Just takes the mic away yourself. From his face, or we'll get the nose again.
So the Amazon Fire TV was announced today, or whenever April 2nd, then you're listening to this, it is yet another box that you attach to your TV to stream video through.
Can I just say that for one, $100 is more than most of these things.
Really?
First of all, yeah.
Okay.
The Chromecast is $35.
Don't know what that
Roku,
is.
Roku is what, $79?
Sounds weird. Roku? Nope. That's not English.
Roku is very popular. Yeah, it is. Awesome. Jamie, come back. Put your mic back.
What?
Put your mic back. Don't listen to Griffin. We can't hear you now.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
Roku is great.
Yeah,
that's all I have to say.
Put it closer.
Oh, okay.
That's good.
Perfect.
$100 is a lot, and then the $40 controller that they threw in there. It's not a pack-in controller.
No, but it is competitive against the Apple products that exist.
You mean that one like Logitech controller that they made for the iPhone?
No, like I'm saying like, okay, so their box, the Apple Fire TV, is the anti Apple TV, right?
I guess so. How much
and
is
they're
Apple
like,
TV these days?
$100.
Okay.
Yep, same price. So they also all have right. a controller that they're like, we support video games and we have a developer. So
do
I don't know.
Do you, Jamie, do you know if Apple TV is doing better than Roku?
No.
I don't think it is.
I think that Roku is probably doing better.
Yeah, probably.
People know what Roku is. Like, old people know what Roku is. Like,
really?
My dad is like, should I get a Roku? Like, no, Dad, you already have a smart TV. Oh, okay. But the Roku has the Netflix. No, Dad, you already have Netflix.
Yeah, most people already have a device that's playing this already, and they're like...
Your dad is coming back with a Roku tomorrow, Jamie.
My dad keeps asking me about the cloud, like literally on a weekly basis. He's like, so what is the cloud? Which cloud is the best cloud?
I'm on
so
cloud
so
nine.
Far.
Hello?
Hello.
Okay. Hello.
Go ahead, Griffin.
What about what?
Apple Fires.
Apple Fires, well, it's a huge problem in the Pacific Southwest.
Oh, God.
You know, that's where actually there's a lot of, it's a mostly damp region. That's why the apples strive. However, the Northwestern fires tend to proceed down that way. And that's how molasses is made.
What?
That's apple fire.
That's how your mother got pregnant.
Yep.
So real talk, Amazon Fire TV. Can you tell me a little bit about it? Is there anything special about this thing?
No. Zero. Zero things special whatsoever. It is a device. that works with mind control, yes.
It says Amazon on it.
Yep.
So that's a thing that probably people will like.
So essentially, it is the exact same thing that every other thing has been before it. Like, it is a Android-based stupid piece of crap that has potential to play games. It has some amount of cores and some horse crap piece of garbage that makes it sound good in it in terms of, like, non-consumer or non-enthusiast consumer buying computer crap world where you're like, it has cores and megapixels. I don't know.
They've actually been very vague about exactly what's inside it. In regards to what chip it's running, it's running some sort of Tegra something, but they were like, what Tegra is it? And in response, they were like, the type that you might find in a cell phone.
Actually, no, it's all been detailed now.
Oh, it has? Oh.
Yes, yep. But I don't know what it means. Like, it's the same to me. It is as what you're saying right now. Like, it's a cell phone. I don't know.
Gotcha.
I'm going to check right now and decipher for us.
Sure. but yeah.
You mentioned voice control?
Yes, so it does have the option to work with voice control beyond just remote control. So that's unique, I guess.
They have developers too, right? For games?
There have been some developers who said we're working on products for this game. During this press conference where this information came out, Minecraft was specifically demoed as well as
fucking
something
Minecraft.
Else. And then companies like Disney and Ubisoft and some other company that jumps on the bandwagon where consoles first come out and then don't give a crap about it later. Oh, Double Fine. That wasn't a joke. Like, I just remember Double Fine.
Telltale,
yeah.
So, by the way, it's an Adreno 320 from Qualcomm, and that's the same GPU that our phone has, Jamie.
Oh, really?
Yep.
But doesn't our phone have a slightly older...
No, our phone has a modern GPU and a slightly older processor.
It's got a modern processor.
This probably has a higher clock than because it's not thermal limited because it's a bigger device.
Gotcha.
So it'll run a little better than our phone.
Great.
Like on an order of magnitude of maybe 1.5 to 2 times better at max would be my guess.
As a person that knows nothing about technical things, does it matter that it separates the graphical processing unit from the core processing unit?
I mean, yes, but it's not going to be a powerful thing.
Okay.
Oh, so it's not an on-die GPU?
Yeah, I thought it was specifically said that, like, those two are separate.
It has a quad-core processor and a dedicated GPU.
Oh, where are you reading, Jamie? On Amazon.com?
On Amazon.com.
Okay. I guess, yeah, if it's not on die, then maybe it's labeled as an Adreno 320, but it's actually, like, significantly spec'd up. That could be very possible.
But I still don't think it's going to be, I mean, it's not going to be like a powerhouse.
Right.
No.
You still got, like, two cell phones strapped together at the best, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I would assume.
So you're not working with anything too great. Like, it's not going to blow your mind away. You're still in Wii territory.
To give you an idea of the where games fit into this thing's life as a device, according to Jeff Bezos, let me read you the final paragraph of the little letter that Jeff wrote to us all. As a bonus, we also added games. With Fire TV, you can play blockbuster titles like Minecraft, The Walking Dead, Monsters University, and the Amazon exclusive Civ Zero, plus great free games. There are over 100 titles to explore, with thousands more coming soon. These games are a great value. The average price paid is only $1.85.
No!
So,
race to
that's
the bottom.
What he wants.
Race
he's gonna
to
do,
the bottom.
He's going to do what he did with books to games. Great.
Whatever. Like, what does it mean? It's a bunch of games nobody cares about are going to be ported to an Android, yet another Android device.
But, I mean, the fear is that he pushes this thing like only he can, relentlessly and, like, to a degree that no other company would, irrationally, And eventually, there are companies that feel forced to develop for this system.
Fine.
And then, like books,
it's,
he drives. He basically controls them and like ruins them.
It's fine. Yeah. Then we don't have the Xbox Live Arcade marketplace, and all the I made a game with zombies in it are on this horse crap device. Whatever.
I thought when you started saying what you were saying that I wouldn't agree with you, but then I did.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if even Amazon could crack this space with something that's so like every other set-top box. Like, what is special about this?
Nothing.
That's what I'm saying, though. What's special is that it's them now. It's like, what was special about the Kindle? At the time, Sony had e-readers. Like, everyone had an e-reader. But the Kindle won because Jeff Bezos is a crazy motherfucker.
Yeah. But also, Amazon had a huge game book catalog. Whereas I'm not sure their Prime Instant Video is.
But that's like part of his. That's like part of his thing. And the Prime Instant Video is great, actually.
It's not as good as Netflix. It's also not.
It's better
as,
than Netflix.
No, it's not, because the UI is hot trash.
Yeah,
not as standardized.
With better with Netflix than Netflix.
I think it has more content than Netflix, undeniably. Mm. Like,
it has more content for purchase.
No, if you're a Prime member, there's a ton of stuff.
There is a lot of stuff, but if I'm going to a service, I know what I'm getting through Netflix. If I go to Prime, I'm assuming I'm going to be buying what I want to buy.
Yeah.
I've noticed mostly, and if you guys on my smart TV, I bounce back and forth between Amazon and Netflix. I just search for something on both, and if I happen to find it, I just watch it wherever I find it first. I've noticed recently that most of the stuff on Netflix is also on Amazon Prime,
yep.
But there's more stuff on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
For free.
Maybe. I don't know. I can't honestly say that I know. I'd have to look more to really weigh in. I've had more luck with Netflix historically.
It is, Jamie, what I've noticed is it may be one season that, or a couple episodes that are quote unquote exclusive to Amazon that I've been aware of. It's just what makes it more appealing. What makes Amazon more appealing to me is it's like, now you can buy this season and this season and this season. But Netflix doesn't offer those things where it's like, oh, I want to watch more Mythbusters, but I can't because this is where it ends. But on Amazon, it's like, hey, do you want to buy one more season for $10? Okay, I guess I will.
I actually haven't noticed that. I'll have to keep my eye out for that. I think that Netflix is better. Like, Netflix has like the Sharknados of the world.
Oh, yeah.
Like Netflix has a lot of that. But Amazon Prime has like a lot of classic movies that Netflix doesn't have, and things like that.
I guess I don't look on those things for classic movies.
You check it out.
Nah.
Check it out.
Check it out.
Check it out. Can we just do Fergie lyrics for the rest of the podcast?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So any more stuff on the Amazon Fire TV, or we just covered that piece?
Nope.
Done
forever. Oh, wait. No, there's that controller. We talked about that. So, Jeff, tying that back into the last episode, that Amazon controller that everybody was in a tizzy about, it's just another $40 piece of crap that nobody will care about.
There's no way that people are going to buy that controller. There's no way this is going to take off as a legitimate gaming console without a packed in controller.
But Sub-Zero.
That's the stupidest looking game in the history of time.
Yep.
Is that Double Helix's project? No.
Is it not just like that third person shooter MMORPG that was in development for like 15 years?
X versus Sever?
No. gosh, I don't remember the name, but yeah, it looks very much like this.
XCOM?
No. It does look like that too. This is different, though.
Looks like Halo to me, but even more just boring and
yeah.
Yeah.
What is it with the mobile world and their unbelievably derivative attempts at design? The fact that they just are like, "Hey, you know Uncharted? Let's do that, except with a slightly different looking main character."
Hey, do you know Cards?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, wait, I do.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, it's yeah.
We're so at Griffin, you talked about Capcom.
Yeah. Did you guys not see this story?
I didn't see it.
Well, it's end of the fiscal year or end of the first quarter of 2014, whatever that works in whatever company's calendar. But Capcom came out and said that their profits are cut in half.
I don't believe it.
50% decrease in projected profits from $6.3 billion to $3.3 billion.
I don't believe that a giant Japanese company is hemorrhaging money.
Now, also keep in mind, that's yen, so God only knows what that actually translates to.
$5.
Exactly, yep.
A lot of that, yeah. Yeah. Sometimes they blame the exchange rate for that stuff.
I feel
although
like...
I'm sure that, yeah.
I feel like every 3 months there is a NeoGAF thread that comes out that says Capcom projects decreased earnings for whatever quarter they're in because of whatever excuse they happen to have at the time. Like this has become this perennial event that is happening every time and time again, where it is this company saying, oh my God, we are slowly, like more so than any other Japanese company, Capcom is dying hard.
I mean, they're still making profits, so that's good.
Well, okay, operating profits versus real profits. Who knows how that actually works?
Well, but usually that's operating revenue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Profits. Okay.
No, I don't know. I mean,
math, numbers.
Yeah.
Who's in the black?
Right. The blue chips.
You're in the black, but you're in the moral red.
I guess what I'm, regardless of the with the analytical side of the numbers, it is a constant trend of this company saying, oh my God, our profits are down. Oh my God, our profits are down. We're screwed. There's never been a quarter in the last 2 years where they've said we're doing really well.
Also, nobody that I care about works there anymore.
Yeah,
except for I guess Yoshinori Ono,
right?
Which I don't really care. That's a Street Fighter guy, by the way.
They're not doing any games that people care about. Like, shocking. Hello, why did they not have profits? Because they're not making games.
Monster Hunter.
Yeah, Monster Hunter just... 4 came out, right?
That's the entire pillar of all their business.
Yeah.
Just those armbands that Axel bought in Japan.
Yep. They got $30 American and now they're just sitting pretty.
Yeah. I don't think there's much else to say there. It's just except that it's just another sign that the Japanese giants are falling, but
yeah,
nobody's that surprised.
Except totally. For Square Enix randomly being like, hey, we kind of suck now. We should stop that.
They yeah. keep doing this,
you guys,
though.
Take that. I'll be right back.
You remember that time when Square Enix made the Final Fantasy board and they're like, hey, we have a board now that makes sure that Final Fantasy games don't suck. But then they put the guy who made Final Fantasy 13 on it.
but when did they make that board?
Like a year or two ago.
Why did they put that man on that? Well, the thing is, I feel like maybe that guy isn't such a bad game designer, but he just felt pressured, according to what they were saying. He felt pressured to make a game that kind of was, I mean, their intention was to make a game that appealed to everyone, was a jack of all trades, but a master of none, but it wasn't even a jack of all trades. It was just awful.
Yeah, but he like loves Lightning. Like he really loves Lightning.
Really?
He probably wants to make Sexy Time with Lightning.
Oh God! Oh no! So sad.
He's like, if you read forums, he's like the most hated dude ever. His name is Motomo Toriyama. He's widely regarded as like a complete no talent hack. But
what
yeah,
is he, like the director.
He was the director of 13-2, 13-3, and I believe the director of 10-2 maybe. And I think he was a co-director of FF10, but I think he was involved in planning and story for 13 and not in 10. Like he might have been directly involved in the script for 13, which is why it was so terrible.
Oh my god.
But
Who else is on the board?
Nomura. I don't know why.
Okay.
I mean he's okay, I guess, but Kingdom Hearts is like not a good franchise.
Yeah, no, I agree. But he had wins in the past, maybe.
Yeah, he designed some FF characters. He designed Cloud that looked kind of cool.
Yeah.
there's some other people on there. But the big story is, they made a statement on like April 31st. They were like, oh, yeah, we didn't think Bravely Default would sell.
That is incredible.
They were like, oh, yeah, we didn't even want to localize it. We didn't think it would sell, but it did. So I guess we're going to stop making games that try to appeal to Westerners now, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, man.
It was really, like, non-committal. They were like, yeah, we're going to push back to more, like, heavy, JRPG design. But I don't believe them even a little bit. First of all, I'm sure they have, like, a year and a half's worth of projects in the pipeline that will take them 3 years to finish. So I don't see this happening anytime soon.
How many more Puzzles and Dragon type card games does there need to be?
How many DLC items for FF All the Bravest come out? All the Bravest.
When is that FF game coming out on the PS4 with the guy with the beard and he's jumping off walls and stuff?
You mean 15?
Yeah.
I don't know. They said there might be some news at E3.
Please be excited for E3.
Yeah, please be excited.
Please, but please do understand.
Tetsuya Nomura will be sitting in a giant MRI machine again.
Oh, Jesus.
And be like, please enjoy gameplay footage. And
all the zippers like are going to be sucked out of his body. He'll be like Wolverine.
Do you guys remember he was sitting in like a giant, like, it looked like it was a prop out of 2001 A Space Odyssey. It was like a big space tube. He was delivering the news about FF15.
Really? When was that?
Go watch the E3 video.
Hmm. Okay.
But anyway.
He was actually getting an MRI. The only time he had.
I'm going to check now and make sure this actually is a thing that is true.
Let's see here. So, Capcom sucks.
Capcom sucks.
Square Enix sucks.
Square Enix sucks. We didn't talk about this. Yep.
I gotta run. I have to wake up really early to go to an interview.
Jesus. It's midnight o'clock.
Why are you going to bed now?
Because I have to wake up really early to go to an interview.
Go. Get out of here.
Do it.
There's just one more thing left, which is that I hope that Blood Dragon 3 is a real game.
Right.
That's all. And did you hear about this?
I did.
Okay. That's all.
Phil Spencer is the head of Xbox now.
Oh,
that's
fuck,
a big deal.
We completely missed that one. We can explore that, Griffin.
But, Jamie Go, there's not much to say about this, honestly.
I don't know. I love you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Good night. Right.
See you, dude. Have a good night. Just you and me now.
Yes. Let's fight about things.
Okay, Phil Spencer.
You're wrong about Dark Souls.
Phil Spencer looks like he's taking a poop all the time.
He does, yeah. He's like the Max Payne of real life.
He used to look like a normal dude. I think something happened. He like got like executive plastic surgery or something.
So apparently he is now the head of the Xbox division of Microsoft. He's taken over Mark Witten's role, essentially.
Yeah.
He has said that, also there's been like a restructuring in Microsoft where they're folding in the games division.
They've given him a seat at the table.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, is the most hilarious thing. It's like Xbox was, you know, like some group in need of like civil rights reform.
At the children's table, yeah. They're like, oh, come up here. Yeah, it's fine.
Phil Spencer.
Apparently, there's been a major restructuring. Like, a bunch of divisions have all been scooped into one now, and he's in charge of all, like, all the games, mobile, music, software has all been pushed under Xbox division, and now he's in charge of that. And he's come out and said, like, as his first handful of interviews, that Microsoft Xbox division is committed to games. So that's good. Like, it's good that you know, it's not like entertainment first, it's games. So that's great to hear.
That's like the most heartening news, honestly, that I've heard from the Xbox division in a long time.
This is the man that was wearing the Cappy t-shirt at the press conference last year. So if you want to like anybody at Microsoft and you're a person who dislikes people at Microsoft, he's a good man to choose.
Well, also he has lengthy experience. Didn't he used to work over at Sony too?
Don't know. I know he's been with Microsoft forever.
Okay. Well, he has a long he's been in the business for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a cool guy. Yeah. So
He has done some good stuff. Hopefully, a lot of the interviews that he's had have been mostly like, look forward to E3. Yeah. Got lots of stuff to say about games at E3. So, it's been kind of a weird thing, but.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I just feel I was really concerned about the directions they were taking. I was concerned about what they were saying about what investors wanted, and the fact that they put this guy in charge at least shows that they understand enough to like put passionate people on that project. Mm-hmm. Like they haven't when they put like, you know, Stephen Elop in charge of it, like I'm like, okay, this is going on the cutting block.
Right.
But when they put like Phil Spencer there, it's like, okay, this guy actually, like, he knows his shit. He actually cares. Mm-hmm. You know, he wants this product to do well.
Yeah.
He likes games.
Right.
And so that's a good thing.
I read a bit of an interview with him where he's like, I'm a studio guy. Like, I'm here to represent games. And I know how that works. So that's my first priority. And that's really cool to hear. Like, he reminds me of, oh, geez. I'm going to blank out here and look like an idiot. Dude who went on to do EA stuff.
Peter Moore
reminds me of that.
GTA 4 tattoo.
Yeah, like kind of like that dude who's like, I'm here to talk to you about the things that you like. So I like that. Yeah. I like that he likes what I like.
Yeah, definitely. It just feels good to have somebody who actually cares, like I said. Just somebody who wants this place to succeed.
Right. A man who doesn't seem to be grown in a vat.
Yes. Who doesn't want to jump ship to Zynga as soon as possible.
Yeah.
As far as we know.
Yeah, who knows, man? It's all a conspiracy.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, that's what Sessler did, right?
Jump ship to Zynga?
Adam Sessler just quit today.
He quit Rev3?
Yep.
That dude could not stay anywhere.
Nope.
God damn. Why did he quit?
The internet says he is quitting because he's tired. Well, his release says he's quitting because he wants to pursue something else after 16 years in video game journalism, and he's going to be a private consultant, I guess. But I haven't found any first party sources that are saying he's going to be private consultants, only headlines. So, we'll see. What happens?
A private consultant in the gaming industry?
I don't know. Like, I'm assuming it'll be like an N. Guy Kroll situation where he just like evaporates into the ether and just appears on podcasts everywhere.
That's so odd. I don't know how to feel about that.
Yeah.
I like Sessler. I often don't agree with him, but I like him. I think he's a cool dude.
Me too. I disagree with him, but I love his passion.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be sad to see him out of the picture.
Right. It'll be sad to see a company somewhere without a figurehead.
Yeah. I feel like, though, he was kind of always old granddad over at over at Rev3.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of young, hipstery-looking people over there right now.
Right.
He doesn't really fit in quite as well with them.
Right. Anthony Carboni needs to fill that void, because that man does some good stuff.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. I like him.
So fill that pundit role, man.
Yeah. But anyhow, one other thing popped up on this list.
Oh.
Smart Glass.
What? Oh, yeah, I wrote that.
Smart Glass. This was during the big like Microsoft gasm, right?
Yeah, this was today at the same time Fire was happening.
Yeah, they were doing a thing on Windows 8.1, and mm-hmm. they're like, "Oh yeah, Xbox."
Yep. Right. Right.
So basically, you get your TV guide on your gamepad. I mean, your iPad. Whatever. Yeah. Same difference.
Your second screen experience.
The Nintendo TV.
You're always on remote.
They basically were like, okay, nobody's buying the Wii U. They won't care if we steal their idea wholesale.
Yep.
There's not much
to say about it. It's cool.
Yeah, ooh, good idea.
Excuse me that's being pursued. It's just like, what does that mean? Also, I'm really surprised that wasn't a thing already happening for the Xbox One.
Yeah. Yeah, good point.
That this elicited an announcement where it's like, oh, and also parody.
Yeah, I think they're just like, let's announce everything we possibly can right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, hey, it's after midnight, so
totally.
If there's anything else, we should
no
get it out now.
No, let's go to bed.
Okay, I'm gonna die now.
All right, I think I was hoping for this episode to be the extreme nostradamic, like crazy future portents cast, but then some real things happened, and we ended up playing some games. So hopefully next week nobody will do anything, and we can do that then.
What is that? Where you predict E3?
We talk about E3. We talk about how everything is gonna die and it's all horrible, and nothing will. Video games are over.
I don't know if you know, but I had a vision last night where my spirit animal told me that Sony's days are numbered.
What was this? What is your spirit animal?
Snooky.
Gross. a Snooky Snuggy?
It's Snooky wrapped in a Snuggy and nothing else. Ugh. It was alarming.
Oh, God.
All right, dude.
So let's end it here. And if this wasn't interesting enough, next week will be a million times better with more craziness and medical jargon.
And less 12-hour workdays before.
Yeah. Sorry, Jeff. You had a rough one. Thanks for sticking through.
No worries.
This has been Boss Barrel Radio. I am Griff Hoffman, Jeff Brewer, and the now preparing for an interview, James Scherer Esquire.
Bye.
We all thank you. Good night.